His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag. Bring.
Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You son of bitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power. Thanks for tuning in again for a fun-packed show. Hopefully, our guests will start to coming on today, or I should say this evening, in some parts of the country, and some parts of the country this morning. At any rate, we definitely need to discuss a couple of issues that we have ongoing in our community. I know before we discussed and talked about the prison complex industrial aspect, but we also have to become aware of the fact that they're doing our children the same way, not just within the juvenile prison industrial system, but they also doing it through foster care. So one of my guests, Sister Sylvia, is going to come on and basically explain to you her plight and what she had to deal with. And I know a lot of our mothers and soon-to-be mothers really need to know about these kinds of things. Anyway, I think this is her, 757-208. You're on Black Power Radio.
Hey, sister, how are you this evening?
Hey, I'm doing great, Queen. Doing great. Peace. Well, anyway, basically, could you kind of basically explain your story just as a beginning? Because I remember talking with you. When I met you, you were just one of those sisters that I could never forget about. On the terms of just the things that you've been through, like alike most of our black women in the world, and things that we have to deal with in this wicked system of beasts, and then being a single parent, and most of our household consists of that. So I just kind of want you to start over from the beginning, and then we kind of go from there.
Okay. Well, yeah, I moved to the state of Virginia in 1999 just to get away from gang activity and that type of lifestyle that I had. So when I moved to Virginia, when I relocated here, my mother was here, and she had not been a part of my life. So I thought, by me moving to Virginia, I can, you know, reestablish a relationship with her and maybe regain some of my self worth or self esteem. But anyway, when I got here, her and I didn't get along. So it became an issue of her wanting to take my children and keep them for herself and get rid of me for monetary gain. You know, and that was an issue between her and I wouldn't let her do it. So what she did was she started to make calls to foster care or social services, thinking that they were going to take my children from me and give them to her. In the state of Virginia, they don't just take your children and give them to anybody. You know, they run background checks. Come to find out, you know, she had a history with the law, so they didn't find her suitable to have the children. But at the same time, they felt that with me being a young mother, because I was, you know, I had four children by the time I was 21. So they didn't feel like I was suitable to raise children being single at that age. So, they took them from me. And that's where the battle kind of began, because They gave me a list of things to do. They said, look, you need to get educated. You need to work. The judge told me himself, you know, you're young, you're black, you're uneducated. I wouldn't let you keep my dog. So that was the grounds for him. Yeah, that was the grounds for him.
I really need to know, like, was the judge a Caucasian?
Yes, he was. Judge Fairbanks. Mm-hmm. Yes, in Williamsburg, Virginia. Yes, he was. And so when they took my children, they gave me a list of things that I had to do. I had to take parenting classes. I had to find residency in a certain county. I had to go to therapy. You know, they had me going through all type of hoops. But my lawyer told me, and I had a court-appointed lawyer, you know, attorney at the time, she said, they're not going to give me my children back. They're going to make me go through everything that I need to go through, but they're not going to give them back. So she told me the best thing for me to do was have my family in Wisconsin try to get custody of them and have them return custody of me. Well, we tried that, and they ended up sending my children back to Wisconsin, but Virginia decided they wanted my children back in Virginia, so they brought them back in Virginia. Now, throughout the course of my children being in foster care, my daughter was raped. My son was molested. And they pretty much told me that, you know, it wasn't much they can do about that. Don't worry about it. You just fix yourself, whatever else. So here in Virginia.
That's what the court, that's what the system told you. That's what the court told
that's,
you.
That's what the system told me.
So
here in Virginia.
But not fix your children. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Exactly. So here in Virginia, your children, they can only stay in foster care 15 months before they're given up for adoption. My children ended up staying in foster care 5 years because I kept finding loopholes and I kept challenging them and I kept, you know, going back. So what they did was they took
Wait a minute, Queen, because you were, like, really rolling on this story. Because I know this is your life, but everybody don't know Sister Sylvia like I do.
Right.
So in the terms of when you said that they was you kept finding loopholes, can you give us some examples of loopholes? Because it's a lot of single mothers out there, and not just single mothers, but single fathers and et cetera out there that want to know what they had to go through. I mean, what you went through, because they might be experiencing the same thing.
Okay, well, what I did was every time I had a conversation with any caseworker, I wrote down word for word what was said. So when I had to go before the judge, I could repeat what was said to me by them, because if they gave me the wrong instructions to do and I did what they told me to do and then I said, well, that's not what I was told, then that gave me another opportunity. As well as I stayed on top of it. I was asking my children questions. If my children said anything was wrong, if foster daddy walked around the house in his drawers, tell me. And I went back and I reported that. I mean, I made those people alive to live in hell. The foster
So you were allowed to still see your children while they were in foster care.
Right. I was allowed to see them, but it was supervised.
Gotcha.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, I had to have a babysitter, but what I did was I made sure I showed up for every visit. You know, I went to every visit. When my children were in school, I went to school and had lunch with them. I was visible. I let my children know that they have a mother. I let the foster parents know that my children had a mother, and I let this damn system know that my children had a mother, you know. Mm-hmm. So that was my issue with that, and it's just being persistent, staying on those people. They know the first voice they heard in the morning was mine. The last voice they heard in the evening was mine. I called them. If I had a question, I'm asking. You know, I ran them literally crazy.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, but like I said, that went on for 5 years because it became more of an issue. It wasn't that that my children's welfare was in the best interest. What it was, it became a tug of war between them keeping me from my children and me trying to get them back.
Okay, like on the terms of
So what's some other, I guess, struggles that you met on the terms of, like, the treatment of your children? Like, you did make a mention that they had been molested and raped,
right,
and that kind of thing. But what else were some of the issues that you found in the foster care system, period, in general, that you experienced, not just upon the brutality aspect, but just the whole, you know, how was the treatment? Was the children treated like a dollar? You know, that kind of thing. I mean, can you break that down further?
They were an income. You know, my children were an income. Like I said, I had four children. So how the system works is, if you have, for each child, and I think at the time, each one of my children were worth $400 a month. But if you took in two of them as siblings, then that's an additional $300 a month. So you get $400 apiece for each child, plus an additional $300 if you took in siblings. Now, if you can get a therapist or a psychiatrist to say that they have a mental issue, that could be almost $1,500 per child. You know, so my children, whoever had my children, were living very well. Their mortgage was paid. Their car notes were paid. They dressed very well. They lived a life. They didn't have to work, you know. So that's how they treated my children. But at the same time, my children were not treated as their children. I'm noticing how they would dress my children like, you know, throw anything on them, but their children looking nice, or how my kids, they have to sit still while their kids get to run around and play. You know, it was a lot of mistreatment. You can definitely see the difference on how they treated my children versus their children. You know, they didn't bother to comb my daughter's hair. You know, I asked them, don't put perms in their hair. They put perms in their hair. You know, my kids, they were dirty. They weren't always clean. Not saying all foster parents did that. I'm just telling you what I experienced. They gave me a list when I first was introduced to the system. They gave me a list of do's and don'ts, what I can and cannot do with my children. I cannot put my children in a corner. That's against the law. I cannot send my children to their room. You can only send your child to their room, what is it, 2 minutes per age. So if I had a 10-year-old, he can only go to his room.
What?
20 minutes. Yes, if anything past 20 minutes for a 10-year-old is against the law. I couldn't raise my voice at my children. I couldn't chastise my children any way, shape, or form. Definitely couldn't use a belt. I couldn't, you know, anything that we use as discipline, you know, to keep our children in line or in check, I wasn't allowed to do. But those rules do not go for the foster parents. They can do they can use any form necessary that they need to do to keep those children in order. I learned that the hard way. Because when I found out that they were whipping my children or putting them in the corners or sticking them in their rooms and stuff like that, it was overlooked. It was like, well, Ms. Steele, you know, that's they can do that. You know, they don't go by the same rules that you go by because your children are damaged goods, and we have to do what we need to do to keep, you know, keep maintenance of them. That's what I was told. My youngest daughter.
Thanks. She, like cattle.
Exactly. My youngest daughter, and one thing I learned, this one lady had told me, she said, well, you know what, I can help you get your children because my mother is a foster care parent. So at first I was happy because at least she would have been close to me. Then she messed up and told me, well, you know, my mother, she get foster care kids to work on farms to help her maintain her farm. So that's what a lot of people do. They're getting these kids to do all the dirty work. You know, my youngest daughter, she was made to clean up behind the dog, keep the yard clean, pick up dog poop with her hands. I mean, they made her do all kind of stuff, which, of course, just pissed me off more, you know, and that's why I had decided that life wasn't worth living if I couldn't get my kids out of that situation.
And so what made it where you just got to the level where you just said, hey, I can't take this no more, I don't feel like living no more? What made you get to that point? Like you said, I mean, what else like, triggered it, and then what prompted you to just do, what was the last result, I guess, is what I'm asking.
You know, one day I came home, and I was sitting on my couch, and I was crying, and I just couldn't live past that minute. You know, like, I'm just there, and I can't move past that minute. Like, there's nothing I could do. The worst feeling in the world for a mother is not to know where her child is at and not be able to touch and kiss and hug her child when she wants to. And my kids would just spread all over the place. And the more I thought about it, it just pissed me off more. You know, I was upset to beyond belief. So I felt like I had to do whatever I needed to do. So what I did is I sat down and I wrote a letter to every governor in this country. And I wrote the letter and I asked them, why do slavery? And see, I wasn't conscious at that time, you know, and it was new to me because I didn't realize how oppressed we were, you know, because I was still young and I grew up a certain way and I was taught certain things. So I didn't realize that we were still slaves and enslaved. And I wrote every governor and I asked them, why is it that Virginia is still allowed to keep us entrapped in slavery? I just didn't understand it. And I think only 11 governors responded to my letter. I even wrote the governor of Virginia, which was Governor Warner at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess by me pressing and pressing him, he, you know, called social services down here to try to see what was going on, because at this point, other governors was writing him, like, why is this woman writing us about slavery going on, you know, type thing. So I guess it was something that they wanted to keep on the down low. But anyway, I wrote everybody. I wrote Tavis Smiley. I wrote Jesse Jackson. I wrote Al Sharpton. I wrote everyone that I felt that could step up and help me. I contacted the NAACP. NAACP basically told me, you're in the Commonwealth state. There's nothing mm-hmm. we could do. You know,
wow.
Tavis Smiley mm-hmm. told me, you know, good luck. You know, I hope you and your kids the best. Jesse Jackson, he wrote me a letter pretty similar to that. Al Sharpton was like, well, do anybody else? Do you got the news involved? Because I can't come down there if the news not involved in it, type
Damn.
Thing. So I just basically felt like all my leaders here, that, you know, the ones that I'm thinking that will come through at my time of need, just basically told me, there's nothing we could do. So at that point, it was only me. You know, I felt like I had to get up and do what I needed to do. Now, I remember I had just found out about the new Black Panther Party here in Virginia, and it was a mm-hmm. chapter in Norfolk, and I did contact them, and they wrote a letter to the judge as well as they wrote me a letter. I can't remember mm-hmm. the brother's name, but he came and he went to court with me. And that's
Jelani,
when they
first, Brother Jelani?
I'm sorry?
Was it Brother Jelani?
You know what? I don't remember. I don't even remember his name. And that was 10 years ago. Like I said, I was...
Okay,
but if you ask him, he might tell you, you know, that if it was him or not. But I remember this brother came to court with me, and when he showed up, you know, he brought a couple other brothers with him, and it kind of mm-hmm. shook the judge up because I had been going to court by myself for so long. And I guess when they saw, you know, I wasn't playing with them, shook them up a little bit, and that's when things started kind of going my way. Kind of, sort of, but not really, because, like I said, the whole issue was them trying to keep my children from me and me trying to get my children back home. Now, how I ended up getting them back was I had, I went through 4 appeals. All the appeals I went through was before the same judge. So if he terminated my parental right, if I appealed my case before him, he just denied me off the bat because he was the one in the first place to take my rights mm-hmm. away. So what ended up happening was they had deemed my boys unadoptable because Black boys between the age of 7 and older are considered unadoptable, mm-hmm. you know.
Okay.
So what they needed to do was get rid of them before they can give my daughters up. Because mm-hmm. whenever they have a situation where they have multiple kids, they can't adopt some of them and not adopt all of them. without giving the mother the opportunity to get the children back. Since they didn't want me to have the opportunity, what they did was they reached out to my children's fathers and my father to get the boys. Once they got the boys out of foster care, they immediately put my daughters up for adoption.
Okay.
And now how I ended up getting my children back was my youngest daughter at the time, her foster father, the one that was going to adopt her, she threw a temper tantrum and he choked her.
Damn.
And he choked her and he left his fingerprint around her neck. So when she went to school, the teacher called the police on him, and they removed my daughter. But because he choked her, automatically won me another appeal. So this appeal, I went before a different judge in the higher court. And I'm going to tell you, after 5 years, I stepped in that court. I wasn't in that court more than 30 minutes before that judge gave me my children back.
So what did he say, though, in the progress? I mean, what did he say upon your, you know, upon before he rendered your children back? And how did you feel, you know?
Well, at that point, what he did was he started questioning my caseworker, her supervisor, the therapist. You know, they actually had 121 witnesses against me in that case. And I only had 11 witnesses for me. But everybody had a different story. Because the question was that he asked everybody is, why did you take this woman's children? And after 5 years, nobody remembered. Nobody remembered why they felt like my children were better off in foster care. You know, all they could do was tell him along the years, oh, well, you know, Miss Steele, she didn't keep a job for more than 2 years. Or Miss Steele, we went over her house, dishes were in the sink. You know, type thing, but they could never say this is where she lacked as a mother. I never was on drugs. You know, I wasn't prostituting. I wasn't in the street. I wasn't clubbing. I did everything that they told me as an American to do. You go to school, you get educated, you work. That's all I did. But to them, that wasn't enough, you know. But anyway, so throughout that case, he kept catching a caseworker in different lies. Like, he'll ask her a question, and she was lying. And then he caught up in that, and he'll question her about that. So he just told her to get off the stand. He called her supervisor up, was catching her in lies. So he said, you know what? I'm done. He called the lawyers in the back. He talked to them for about 20 minutes. He came back out. He said, y'all going to give this woman her children back. Y'all had no reason to take her children. She's been fighting for her children for 5 years, never missed a court date, always showed up on time. You know, she did everything. You all asked her. You had no reason to keep her from her children. So I was happy. You know, I was crying and happy and hugging everybody and just, you know, because I got my babies back. And within 2 weeks, I had my daughters back.
Hmm.
So I definitely feel like, you know, I won a battle. I won a battle.
He definitely did.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question upon him, upon the so-called foster father choking your daughter. What was his justification? What did he tell the pig, so to speak? What was his justification in doing so?
He said that she was throwing a temper tantrum and he was just trying to maintain order of her. That's all.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you, He was in the Navy, and they never pressed any charges against him.
That was my next question.
Yep, they never pressed any charges against him, and they would not allow me to press charges against him.
They would not allow you to press charges against him?
No.
Wow, that is unjust. But initially they took your children away because of hearsay.
Right.
But you have proof, you know, that, you know, she had marks on her neck. And that he had did it, and he admitted to doing it.
Exactly.
You know, that's really interesting. I want to continue to talk about that because I think this is something that the whole world needs to know about, and how, you know, the prison system, industrial complex system, the school system, and the foster care system is basically ran the same way because it's ran by the same people. The same people are involved. Some of them barely have a so-called high school diploma. And not only that, they're not equipped. I know a lot of times if you go into certain places, and a lot of these caseworkers don't even have, like, degrees or trained for this kind of deal to in order to handle foster care, in order to deal with our children. And also some of the parents have a lot of complaints to get a lot of the parents, and I'm not knocking a lot of the foster parents because there is some great foster parents out there, but look, we're talking about the bad ones.
Right.
But a lot of the so-called foster parents actually don't even have a lot of charges against them, and they know, and they are still sticking in that house because they don't have anywhere else to place them because not a lot of people foster care. Foster parents because of the, you know, pay and because of, you know, they just don't want to do it, you know. But I know in a lot of cases, I mean, I know foster care back, you know, 5 years ago, so around the time they were getting a lot of money, but since then I've been reading and studying about it that they have decreased the funds because of
right.
this very thing that we're talking about. But I have a question. What made you, because I know you're the co-founder of organization that you're just now starting up called a Rose with Thorns in Them.
Right.
If you could kind of break that down a little bit, because I know a lot of our listening audience would like to know more about that as well. I put you on the spot, didn't I?
look, you know, the first one today. But yeah, what we're trying to do is we're trying to start an organization where we as Black women can rebuild and help each other out, support one another from scratch, you know, because we have been beat down and stripped of so much, and we're just kind of out here, and we don't have that avenue to go down, like, you know, there's so many sisters out here that I know that's homeless, you know, with children. And they just don't have anywhere to turn to us. A lot of us sisters out here that lack the proper education, you know, and they just don't have the knowledge or the wisdom or just the knowing who to go to. And it's at a point, it has to stop, because the only way we're going to rebuild as a nation, we have to start with our sisters first. You know, we have to bring our children back home, and we have to have the strength to raise our children.
No, you finish your thought. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so that's what I was saying. I was just saying that, you know, that's what we have to start at first. And but the organization, what we're going to do is we're going to, you know, have retreats, little pamper sessions, you know, sessions to teach knowledge and education and, you know, get our sisters back right.
Well, what are some of the, survival programs or things that you all, you know, hope to accomplish? I know you talked about building, you know, the sister up, basically turning her from, because, you know, the whole theory of a rose, you know, being very pretty and yet having thorns in it, you know what I mean? When you mess with it, you know, it strikes, you know, so to speak. So
exactly.
If you could kind of explain the concept of some of the survival programs that you all are going to have. Because I know
okay.
this is brand new, starting up, so.
Well, like I said, we want to do is we want to educate these sisters on basic survival technique, you know, things that they mm-hmm. need to do to maintain out here. Because mm-hmm. actually this world we live in is a jungle anyway. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying? It's a situation that we have to educate our sisters on how to defend themselves, how to defend their families, how to defend their husbands, you know, their sons, you know, where to step, how to avoid stepping in, you know, landmines. What you call those little things with the bombs and stuff, you know?
You
feel
so right.
So what we want to do is we want to make sure we start developing warriors, you know. So,
okay.
I hope
okay,
I'm
well,
explaining it so you can understand
no, you really are. You really are. No, you're doing great. I have
okay.
a question in the chat room. One of the folks asked
and they're going back to the whole thing with your, you know, your children. They wanted
right.
to know how many different homes were they in before you got them?
My boys, they were in 4 different homes.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest daughter, she was in 6 different homes, and my baby, she was in 16 different homes. The one that got choked.
Okay, the youngest baby.
Right.
Okay. They also asked. They actually have a few questions to ask. So let me just spit them to you. The next question would be, how are you and your mother's relationship at this stage? I know it's kind of personal, but you know, this is what they want to know.
At this stage, I realize for me to love her and continue to respect her, I just can't deal with her. You know, every mother is not a mother, and maybe, you know, she was better off not in my life, because when she comes, it's just a big boom, you know. So I just kind of, when she needs me, I'm here, but I leave her where she at. Because I think mm-hmm. the worst thing for a woman is mm-hmm. not to be with her mom, especially if her mother's living. I think that's one of the hardest things to have to get through life with.
So do you have, like, any elder sisters that, like, you know, that you can consider a mother figure, so to speak?
I do. I kind of adopt everybody. You know, where there's love, I'm there. You know, I'm welcomed by many, so, yeah, I do. And the ironic thing about it is none of them are blood related. I don't really associate too much with my blood family, but, you know, I do have, you know, elder sisters that guide me and teach me, because I'm still learning, you know. So, yes, I do.
But you had, because I know your history, so I can really pull out some questions from you, because I understand your history, because you told me about it. And I found it really to be interesting and definitely inspiring. And I definitely want more sisters or brothers, of course, to know about it. But on the terms of the recent issue with your son, could you explain what happened with your eldest son? I think it was your eldest, right?
Right. Okay, well, my son, he's 19.
The last issue.
I sent him away to school at Wild Tech in Pennsylvania. And Blairsville, Pennsylvania, which I did not get my knowledge on that area. So my son calls me one night. It was on a Tuesday night. He called me about 1 o'clock in the morning. And he says, Mom, you know, the police is here, and they're accusing me and my friend of stealing some DVDs. And what happened was, it was a young white boy. He was laying in the common area, and he had his case full of DVDs, and he woke up and he said they were missing. So he said he believed he saw 2 black boys. So when they checked the cameras, they saw my son and his friend walk through the common area. They didn't see anyone mm-hmm. near that white boy. But because my son and his friend were the only 2 that they saw on video, they arrested them and charged them with attempt to, let me see if I can remember the charges, conspiring to commit a theft. They arrested my son and they gave him a $7,500 bail.
Mm. Wow. So what was your first reaction toward that, upon him calling you?
I'm scared, because my son is up there with no family, no one. I didn't know anyone up there. I didn't know how it was. And I was pissed off, because I you know, my son has done dumb things, but I know, you know, he didn't do that. And
right.
I didn't understand why his bail was so high. You know,
mm-hmm.
they put a bail on. I mean, I guess they just assumed, and I can't tell you what they were thinking, but I'm just going on thought, that they just assumed that we wouldn't be able to come up with the money to get him out, and which at first I couldn't come up with the money. But I was in a state of confusion because I didn't sleep for like 2 days because, you know, they had my baby locked up there and they were only, you know, they were locking him down 23 hours a day. They would let him out. They would let him call me once a day for like 3 minutes. He calling me, Ma, you know, they doing this to me. They cussing me out. They won't feed me. I mean, they was mistreating him behind this little white boy DVDs. And I felt personally it wasn't, you know, all that wasn't warranted. So
exactly. Over some DVDs.
So what I tried to do is I tried to, you know, get a bail bondsman from up there. Of course, when no one worked with me because they all rednecks up there anyway. So I ended up having to come up with, you know, a little over $1,000 and get a bail bondsman here in Virginia to go up there and get him. So that's how he was able to get out. He would go back and forth to court. I was going back and forth up there, you know, because I wanted them to know that, you know, he had support. He had his mother. But, you know, they kept continuing the case. What ended up happening was that weekend we had the hurricane. He had his court date, I think that following Monday, which I couldn't get out of here. And when I didn't show, they told my son, you know, if you didn't plead to this minor charge, then we're going to go ahead and prosecute you. We're going to get a conviction, and you're going to be serving 2 years. So, of course, my son, not having his mom or, you know, anybody there, went ahead and took the plea, which, you know, ended up being, like, mischievous something, and they have to pay, like, $1,000 fine. So I'm still a little upset about that. It's not much I can do at this point, but, I didn't want that to affect him going to school because, you know, they're pretty much trying to kick him out of school behind that. So we're fighting with that. I already appealed it.
They're still trying to kick him out at this stage?
Uh-huh, they're still trying to kick him out.
Mm-hmm. I think we got some guests on the line, so we might have some people calling in may want to ask you a question, or we might have another guest. Could you hang on?
Yes.
Stand by because people might still have questions for you.
Okay.
We have 517-489. You're on Black Power Radio.
What's good? What's good? This is Gangster Ace from the Gangster Ace Radio Show. My real name is Drew, and I did want to talk to the female, the lady, if I may. I'm from the Band of Brothers. You guys can go look up my website if you need to. But my question is for the lady. I don't want to call her young because that wouldn't be appropriate. But did they ever find any of the videos in your son's custody at the time? Because if they did not, then you guys have a big case, and you guys can throw this back in, not throw it back in their face, but pretty much show them, hey, it was not even in their possession. It was not even in, they don't have no evidence on that case. Really? They just heard, and they just seen the videos, you know?
Right. No, they never found any DVDs on their persons. They didn't find any DVDs in their dorm room. They did not find those DVDs, period, if they were ever missing. That's the point I'm at now. And that's why they charged them with the conspiracy to commit theft.
Yeah.
They didn't charge them with the actual theft. They charged them with the conspiracy. Because the officers said that they looked like they were conspiring on that video.
Look.
On a surveillance.
Minority Report, huh?
So exactly, they didn't have no evidence. See, I like these kind of stories because that's the reason the Band of Brothers were kind of upraised. I'm actually been attacked by the KKK myself. I'm actually white, part Mexican, and, you know, I'm mixed myself, and my whole family was just attacked, and that's the reason we started up the Band of Brothers. And there is no leader of this group, but we're going out here right now demonstrating against the government, the police. We're going out here demonstrating against the KKK right now. So if there's some time that you get a chance, if I may on this radio show, leave out my office number or even my website, so you can go check it out. We do got more stuff going on there, so, because I would really like to talk to you a little bit more.
Okay.
Is that all right if I leave my number out here, my office number and my website out here for?
Yes, you can go ahead.
Well, I wouldn't want you to do it on the radio. What I can do is, let's see. Well, go ahead.
All right. Well, my office number, and, you know, anybody gets it out there, I'm used to it. 760-563-2853. That's my office number. That's 24/7 hotline that you can hit me up at any time. Just leave a message and I'll get back to you. But the website out there is Band of Brothers, which is all connected, 69.webs.com. And that, once again, 760-563-2853 is the office number again. Once again, that is 24 hours. You can hit that up. Band of Brothers, B-A-N-D, of Brothers, with the S, 69.webs.com.
Okay. Any more questions you have for the sister?
Well, there's some more questions I got for her, but, you know, we just want to, you know, it's kind of hard to say some of the things that I want to talk to her about kind of over the radio because, our organization, we're dealing with real black family members, real white family members that are not racist, and, you know, we're trying to get more stories like this heard. You know, we want their voices to be heard, and, you know, and we're going to protect these people. I'm already in talk with Michael Cleef, which is actually another black family member. We're about to go across the United States here pretty soon and do some little bit of work, so.
Well, anyway, thanks for calling in. I'm going to go ahead, and you can continue to listen to the show. Thank you. Okay. Yes, ma'am. And anyway, go ahead and finish telling on the terms of what are they do? How is the climate for your son at school at this point in time?
Well, it's very hard for him because, of course, you know, everybody, including the staff, they're treating him as if he's a thief. So, he basically have to work twice as hard for half as much as anybody else. You know, they're trying to flunk him out. They're telling him he's not going to make it anyway. If he don't understand certain things, they're not trying to help him. So it's a real struggle because he calls me every day like, Mom, I'm just ready to quit. You know, but I tell him to go ahead and hang in there because even if he quit at this point, I still have to pay back $20,000. You know, so I'm kind of locked into that loan process of it. But it's a real struggle. So what we did was I sent one of my cousins up there to go to school with them. And they're roommates at this point. But now that my cousin is up there, he's going through, you know, some of the things that my son goes through just because they carry the same last name.
Interesting.
So I call, you know, I do my best from this end. I'm calling up there, you know, what's up, what's going on with you all, is there an issue with my son, you know, is there anything as a parent that I need to do, plus I'm going up there once a month, you know, just to kind of let them know, you know, we're not the ones to run over.
Okay, well, my question to you is, do you have any advice on these terms and how to handle, you know, our children going to these different colleges, because I'm a mother who I have children that are in college, and I have another one that will be attending college in like a year. So do you have any advice for us, for folks like us?
I would just say be prepared for anything. I mean, be prepared financially, emotionally, and physically, because you just never know what happens. You know, try to keep in touch with other, you know, with people, or, you know, I tell my story because you never know who may involve themselves in my situation or who could help. So I always say, you know, try to keep a team of people around you that can offer you different resources, and just don't give up. You know, that's the point of it. They want you to quit. They want to beat you down. They want to wear you out. Sometimes the battle's not worth it, you know, but most of the time it will be. So I just say, just make sure you stay in your faith, stay strong, and just be prepared for whatever.
That's true indeed. We're in the heart of the in the heart of America. So, yeah, we definitely have a lot of issues that we have to deal with. Although, man, this is just a powerful story. I have people in the chat room that's really wanting to know more about the, you know, what you had to do with and deal with as far as foster care. They want to know what, like, if you had to make how to deal with a foster care system. They want to know, how would you do that? How would you tell other people to deal with that? And if you had to write a book, how would you write that?
First thing I would say that you have to, as hard as it will be, stay calm, because what they want you to do is they want you to be irate and upset to where you can't focus a thing. And that's important, because if you make the wrong move, one wrong move can make or break the whole situation. Part of my problem was they felt I didn't have enough emotions. I wasn't breaking down. I wasn't crying enough. You know,
mm-hmm.
But the times I did cry, they were saying I was unstable and I couldn't handle, and I was, you know, mentally this and mentally that. So that would be the first thing I would do. I would make sure that I would stay ahead of them as far as the mental game aspect of it. Second of all, learn your enemy. Learn who you're dealing with, because I'm going to tell you, when you're dealing with these people, they're going to come to you and they're going to tell you, I'm your friend, I'm trying to help you. They're lying. They are lying. They're just trying to dig out any dirt that they can use as a weapon against you. I learned that the hard way. When they give you certain criteria, make sure you not only do it, but you don't complain about it, just get it done. And the only reason why I say that, because if you don't, if they say, well, you know, you smoke weed, so you need to go to drug counseling, do it. Anything's worth, you know, anything's worth doing if it's for your children. But if you don't do it, they're going to label you a drug addict. They're going to say, you know, you don't want your children. Don't give them any weapon to shoot you with, because they're already going to have a ton of things that they're going to use against you in the first place.
Okay.
And never... Never let them know you fear them. Never let them know you fear them. Look them in the eye, tell them this is just what it is, and just let them know you're a fighter. That's it. You just have to fight. Which is going to be hard, because throughout my travel, and I'm going to tell you, because I'm in Virginia and everybody knows it's a Commonwealth state, even all my family turned against me because they felt like I had no chance. So for so many court dates, I sat in there alone by myself because I didn't have that support. But all I had was my children left. So just the essence of thinking I was going to get them back, you know, kept me going. Everybody say I'm hard-headed, but this is one time my hard-headedness paid off.
So you didn't have, like, your father to assist you, or he just kind of just said, you know, he'll support you, but he can't go to court, or...
You know, my father told me, when my children first went in foster care, he said, Sylvia, you're not going to be able to beat these people. So you're young, you can have more children. When they turn 18, they'll come back. That wasn't good enough for me. You know, that wasn't enough for me. So, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, my father's in my life for... We have a relationship, not really close for different reasons, including that one. But at the same time, you know, I kind of had to cut that loose to stay focused on the prize, which were my children coming home.
Okay.
So, 5 years is a long time to be separated from your children.
It definitely is. How was you able to repair your relationship with your children?
I never lost it because when, like I said, when my children were in foster care, they knew they had a mother. I still went to the parent-teacher conferences. I still went and had lunch with them. I still went on field trips. Every visitation I had, I bought them stuff, bought them gifts, bought them birthday gifts, bought them Christmas gifts. I mean, they knew I was there. I was never absent from their life. I just didn't share the same house with them, you know. And everybody knew those were my children. Because I'm going to tell you, when you're a mother and your children are in foster care, everybody treats you like garbage. They don't care why your children are in foster care. All they know, you're a bad person because they're in there. So they talk to you all kind of ways. They treat you all kind of ways. There's plenty of times they didn't even want me in school. The fact that my children went into foster care, they labeled me a child abuser in the state of Virginia for like 7 years. So it was a process I had to go through to even get into these schools to see my children. And, I mean, they tried to break my spirit. And if I was a weak woman, I would have been broken. You know what I'm saying? They tried to break it. They tried to strip me. They were saying, oh, she might come in here and rape somebody's child, all type of stuff. But you know what? I kept my head up, kept smiling, kept going in there, you know, being with my children. I would go home at night and just break down and cry, and knowing I would have to do it all over the next day. But I maintained. And the one thing I couldn't have my children wondering was, did my mama love me? They knew I loved them, and they knew I was going to fight for them.
Right. As a mother, I definitely understand that. Let me say this, because I kind of want to touch on that individual calling in. And he said something about, you know, white people that aren't racist, all white people are racist. You know, it's just in their DNA. So I really had to kind of clear that up. I had to say something about that. I was going to let him say his piece because, you know, I mean, this is Black Power Radio, but I just couldn't allow somebody to come on Black Power Radio and just let them say that. I was going to let it go, but no, I can't let it go. So let's move on to the next guest. We have 704-713. Hang on, Sister 204, you're on Black Power Radio. Okay, with me. We have some kind of, okay, there we go. You're on Black Power Radio. Come on. Hello? 704-713-04, you're on Black Power Radio. Okay, we're going to have to come back on that. They'll let me know when they're ready, I guess. That just kind of bothered me a tad bit because we're just dealing with, you know, I know a lot of times, you know, I know a lot of times a lot of white folk would say, you know, there is a couple of white folks out here, I guess, that, you know, help our people. But at the same time, it's just certain things that we have to address within ourselves, within our own entity. We as black people, we have to begin to start stepping out and start working with our own people. And really, because we are hella fire organizers, number one, it's in our DNA. And we're trying to build a nation within a nation, within our own nation of our own. And, you know, of course, you know, it's nothing wrong with us having the allies of the red man, of the brown man, and the yellow man, because, yes, that same dog that bites us bites them as well. But at the same time, we do have to create our own nation. That's why this is called Black Power Radio. Sister, if you could go more into detail, because you have a lot what you're doing in VA. Also, I want to definitely talk about that. Tell us kind of what you're doing in VA.
Okay, well, what I'm doing down here in VA is like it's all about building for me. I work with brothers as well as sisters, different organizations. My heart mostly go out to children, so I have a couple organizations with foster kids that, you know, once a year we get together and we raise money so they can, you know, have nice holidays or birthdays, and, you know, for the parents that's not able financially to attend different things for their children, we make it possible. Like I said, and another thing that I do is out here, because even throughout my struggles here in Virginia, it was a while that I was homeless, you know, so I try to extend my hand to sisters with children, even brothers, because I'm noticing there's more and more single fathers out here.
And I
definitely have to give them their respect. But for those who can't afford to feed their children, or, you know, we insist on trying to get them cars or clothes and, you know, anything to make a house a home. So that's basically what I spend my time here, as well as mentoring, you know, the young girls here, you know, to help guide them, because a lot of our youth, they're feeling not loved and don't have that attention. So, you know, we go camping and fishing, you know, try to teach them how to. I live in the country, so I grow my own vegetables, so try to teach them how to grow vegetables and, you know, how to survive if they need to.
So what are some of the struggles that you have met in trying to do this, in doing this? I shouldn't say trying, because you are doing it, so
right.
While you're doing this, what are some of the struggles?
The main struggle is support. And I think that what kind of threw me back the most is no support. Even when you go to certain families that you're trying to help, they're not helping them. You know, like I said, I live in a small town, predominantly black, but it's ran by you know, the Caucasians. And they're just scared to do anything. It's like, you know, where I live is three schools. It's the elementary school, it's the middle school, and it's the high school. That's it. But white people don't send their children to the public schools. They send them to private schools. So in our schools, they've taken out, you know, the music program. They've taken out all the funding for them to go on field trips. They've taken out the funding for them to do anything but go up there and get babysat all day. They don't even have, like, adequate foreign language programs. You know, a couple years ago, we tried to put together after school programs. You know, it was a few of us single mothers that decided we were going to volunteer our time, you know, to do, like, you know, the chess club, the debate team, things like that. And that was a no-go. Even though we were volunteering our time, that was absolutely no. So, like I said, just trying to get our people to say this is what we want. You know, it's almost, I have to almost kind of do like Harriet Tubman, put the gun in your head to make you free. You know what I'm saying? It's like, see, so that in itself, and, you know, I'm going to tell you, people think I'm kind of crazy because I'm different, so I'm like preaching and teaching. Look, this is what our children need. This is what we need as a people. So, I mean, I've been called everything from a witch, you know, that I'm back into a voodoo. You know, they see me coming, they turn and go the other way. You know, everybody sending their persons over here to pray for me. I'm just crazy.
I know they'd be crazy. Like bag lady, huh?
The funny thing about it is everybody's kids love me. Like, if anybody has a problem, they come to my house. Now, we were living in the house, and this is the funny thing about it. Now, the kids were on the street. You know, they in gangs, and they shooting each other and stuff like that. So I opened my house to all these children. You know, okay, y'all can come over here. I'll feed you, stay off the street or whatever. We got put out because they didn't want, you know, these children congregating over my house, which I thought was crazy. So you'd rather see them in the street robbing and killing and shooting and everything else. So it's just crazy. So, like I said, the biggest struggle is support. I just need my brothers and sisters to, you know, help me out a little bit.
Okay, VA, VA, we're calling on you to stand up. Come on, VA. VA folk, get his sister to support. But sister, hold on, hold on. Don't hang up. We have another caller, 704-964-24. You're on Black Power Radio.
Black Power.
All right. Black Power, queen.
Black Power.
How are you, sister?
Black Power, great. I was just thinking about you since I was waiting for you to call in. Again, I definitely wanted you as a guest on the show because, again, this is supposedly Sisters Night.
Okay.
But our brothers can listen as well. Our brothers can call in as well, but this is, you know, sister hosting, so it's Ladies Night. So, sister, definitely, if you could break down, number one, who you are. Sister Silver, did I tell people who you was before I go on to the next guest?
Yeah, you did. You introduced me.
Okay. Okay, great. Okay, well, sister, I had to be fair. Okay, sister, go ahead and tell us who you are and what your organization is.
Gladly. My name is Soul Love, and I am in TV and radio. I'm actually in school right now, but I have a couple of radio shows, and I'm a huge activist right now in my community here in Charlotte and abroad. And I am actually really interested in becoming a member of the new Black Panther Party, because I do believe that group or this group is what is lacking in the Black community. And I'm all for empowering and structure, especially. And honestly, someone that's going to stand up for Black women. You know, I mean, where's our Black men at? I mean, I'm calling them out, and I'm too strong of a woman, so I need me a strong Black man. You know, I don't know about y'all sisters out there, but I don't need these weak kind of brothers out here. I'm trying to be nice right now because we're on the radio, because I really want to go ahead and go off. You know what I'm saying?
Don't beat the brothers up, sister. Don't beat them up.
You intimidate me. That's a damn shame I intimidate you. That's a damn shame. That is a damn shame that we as women have taken on such strong roles right now. I mean, it's divine order. It's God, man, woman, child, dog, cat. Okay? It ain't, men ain't even on any, they ain't even in that order no more. I mean, it go God, woman, child, dog, cat, then a man. Am I lying?
I have one sister, Lady Freedom. She say, preach on. Now, we're not going to bash brothers. I understand what y'all said, but we're not going to bash brothers. But yeah,
let me tell you what brothers and what brothers, but the brothers that need to be upheld are the new Black Panthers. You know what I'm saying? Those kind of men right there. Those kind of men that follow Louis Farrakhan. I mean, I'm just keeping it 100. The media is going to always try to make them out to be the enemy because they are standing strong. They are speaking the truth. They are upholding the Black woman. And that's not what they want to portray. They want to make it seem. And I was just telling my cousin this earlier. I said, I didn't really realize how beautiful I was. You know, because the enemy used my own mother to deceive that and to try to conquer that in me. I am 5'9", okay? I got thick legs. I don't know if you ever heard of Sarah Bartman, but I had to do some research on that sister. And, you know, they paraded her around as a circus, in the circus, because they had never seen such artwork before. But yet and still, now our Black men are exploiting us. And I can speak for that because I thought that it was okay. I thought that that was cool to do, but I didn't really realize how precious and how sacred the Black woman's body really is. And it's sad that the white man knows, but the brothers don't know.
But
don't even get me started. Go ahead, Mercy.
I said if I ever wrote a book, and I think I'm going to write it, 50 things that all Black people should know. And one of the first things that should go in that book is a copy of the Willie Lynch letter.
I'm telling you.
And number two, I think everybody should watch Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome.
Yes.
Once you see how that sister break it down, it explains so much. the lack of communication between a black man and a black woman. You know, our people, we have really been separated and beat down and oppressed and misled to the point of, wow, you know. And see, that's something else that I wanted to do. I wanted to start holding black empowerment workshops where I can introduce a lot of our brothers and sisters to a lot of these lectures so maybe we can get to re-know each other, you know, kind of like a reverse phase where we can understand each other because, you know what, I'm too like, Man, black man, where you at? You know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like,
girl,
that's
what we've been here saying the same thing, Lord Jesus, what's going on here?
I'm like, you know what?
Let me just say this. I don't have a problem getting a man. Okay, I look good. I ain't worried about that. But
right.
It's just a kind of man. Once you know your worth, now I know that I'm a goddess walking around here. Now I know I'm a queen on my
that's
throne.
Right.
And I have
yes,
to have
ma'am.
A king. I can't have nothing less. So that's why I'm 31, disease-free with no children, and bad as hell. You're damn right. And if you can't come correct, I don't want you, boo. Keep it moving.
Yeah.
I'd rather have a king on a bike than to have a donkey.
In the car.
Come on now. They think that these things are amusing, and we and a lot of women out there are being sold short. You're being sold short. I'd rather wait. I'm sorry. I'd just rather wait.
I'm gonna tell you, it's so many women that have to have male energy around them that
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter the caliber of male energy that they're receiving. You know,
right.
That's why you see so many women that's allowing their men to just do any type of thing that they want to because they feel like they can't maintain without that.
And to comment on that, because I can keep talking, honey, because we were just in here talking about it, so I know it's divine order for us to have this conversation. I was just
right.
saying that I've had several, you know, guy friends in my past who have said, you know, you just need to submit. You always hear brothers saying, women, black women talk too much. And you say, y'all run your mouth and you don't know how to shut up and you don't know how you got so much attitude. You're always mad. You know why, black man? You want me to tell you why, black man? Because you're too goddamn weak.
But you know
somebody got to, somebody, hold on, somebody got to tell you, black, Lord Jesus. So, God gave me a vision 8 years ago, and the world in ruins.
And I was scared and had got a revelation of it about 5 years after, and that's why we don't have a lot of time to lollygag and play, because we got to be about our Father's business as if it was our last breath, as if it was our last day. That's how serious the matter is out here, and how much our people, and I don't want people to think, she racist or whatever because she with the Black Panther. You can think what you want. What I'm saying is you can vote for a president. And you can vote for this president because you have one thing that you like about this president, and you may not agree with everything else he's about, the policies he's about. So that don't necessarily mean I don't have to agree with everything the new Black Panther is on, but they do have things that we can learn from. So with that being said, that drove me to say, okay, well, what can I do? They're doing, what can I do here in Charlotte? So I got it with the Freedom Voices with the Black Fist. I had a internet designer who designed the logo so no one can copyright. I got it copywritten and trademarked. So I'm very official. We got the website underway right now, under construction. I'm getting headquarters here for not only me, but for the new Black Panther movement. So if y'all want to come here, or Malik Zulu Shabazz want to come here, he has a home in Charlotte, North Carolina. So I'm working on that heavily. But in that organization is John, which is Thug, True Healing Under God. He's a civil rights leader, and he's dealt with a lot of people, and that's what he does. That's his department. And I have another sister who's dealing with, because she has a daughter is a teen who's pregnant. And that's not being addressed. These teenagers getting pregnant. And I told her some things, and I can't really say it over the phone because it's all being worked out, but God gave me a vision on how to get that in order, and I gave her what she needs to do in her direction. So therefore, she's writing those things down and coming to me with her assignment by Monday. Secondly, we see the banks are closing. All these banks are shutting down left and right, all these white-owned banks. So now I'm trying to wake up our Charlotte, North Carolina, and abroad people to start investing in black-owned banks. We have a black-owned bank here in Charlotte who only has 59 friends on Facebook, okay? So that, therefore, it lets you know our black people don't know there's even something like that exists. So Charlotte, Occupy Charlotte, if you heard of Occupy Wall Street, is Occupy Charlotte and all over spreading. So they have that here. I'm going to go out there and protest with these people at Bank of America Saturday, August 8th, because I want to make sure that the media sees black people out there that's organizing, that's against the bank. We have our own entity. We have our own agenda. So the white people doing their thing, and they're getting beat. Let them go ahead. Let's work on the ground while they're getting beat. And let's have our agenda. That's how I look at it. Let them go ahead and get beat up because we done got beat up enough. Let's go ahead and do it smarter. Let them go ahead and have a forefront. Let them come on here. Let them be the front marching while we in the back organizing. That's how I'm scheming it. So I'm going on September 8th. October 8th on this Saturday to boycott and to write out a Bank of America to get my members to take their money out, or if not, take all your money out to open up an account as a safety net, because I think it's just wise. If you're going to gamble with an account, might as well gamble black. Secondly, another sister who has also came to me about missing children. There's missing children, black children, who can't go on Nancy Grace because Nancy Grace ain't going to put a black child up there 7 days a week. She ain't going to do it. So there's black children that are missing in our backyards, are just coming up missing. The government are taking these children and sacrificing these children with the Baphomet and all that and the skulls and bones and all that kind of stuff. So that's why these children are never going to come back home. And that's why it's such imperative that we have mothers and fathers in our community. That's why the Black Panther is so monumental to me, because they show that family structure. So therefore, I am a huge supporter of that, because there's some kind of order in this party. So those are some of the things that we're bringing to the table, and I can't say all because we're still in the works and we're just getting on off the ground. But that's what we are dedicating to do with Freedom Voices.
Wow, sister,
I'm sorry. I can keep talking now.
I see why you're on the radio, sis. I'm trying to get like you. I'm trying to get
you
to the level to enjoy it the way that you all do it. Y'all both have very great radio personalities.
Thank you.
But, yeah, that's great. Wow, that's in a nutshell. Well, I'm going to bring Sister Lady Freedom on, because when you started letting me into the brother, sister, she wanted to sign in on it.
Come on, Sister Freedom, come on.
I have a great king, and I want him to know that we wasn't talking about him.
That is so
we're
great.
We're not talking about the great brothers, because there's a lot of great brothers out there. Let me just say that before I bring Sister Lady Freedom on, before you even start talking, Sister Lady Freedom, there are great brothers out there. We're talking about the ones that are 334-505. You're on Black Power Radio.
Yes, there are great black men out there. I just don't have one yet. And the ones that are perpetrated like they were not. But I do know they exist, for I do have a great father, and I do have a great grandfather and grandfathers, who one of them was till death did he part with my grandmother. And so I know that they are there, and as we know, with our current experiences, they are hard to find, although they are not invisible. They are not invisible, but they are hard to find. And if you are a woman of some moral value, they're really hard to find.
That's true.
Because you're number one, you're not going to take somebody else's man. And number two, you're not going to take any perpetration of a man.
That's no one, no jack.
And number three, you're not going to allow your daughters or your sons to see you accepting less than the best. And so as a queen, sister, I feel every sentiment that you share. And I just was in the amen corner fanning my fan and calling for a seat. Can I get a seat and some holy oil? Because I be proud. So I can see what she's like. Yes.
Just know, sister, that you know, regardless of what, and this is what I'm, when I say to you, I'm saying to myself, and I'm saying to anybody else who's listening, that God is my man right now, and he loves me more, far more than any, and I, it sounds very cliche, and it sounds kind of corny, but it's kind of, really is kind of. But it is kind of true, you know what I'm saying? Because at least I know he won't disappoint me. I know he ain't gonna lead me wrong. I know he ain't gonna leave me alone. I know he's gonna always be there, whether my man leave me or he ain't, or whatever case may be. And so I think that we have to understand that it's coming and just let it go. You understand what I'm saying? And just remember, and just remember to keep throwing them jacks back on the table. So that's all I gotta say. Because it ain't gonna come. I'm gonna keep throwing them jacks on the damn table. Because I don't want no damn jack. I don't want no damn jack.
Well, I don't
want
them
justices.
I mean, you're missing them justices. I definitely don't want them.
Keep going.
Let me undo my personal hat and get, which is still business to a certain extent, because you know, in building the kingdom and the queendom, there's certain things people need to understand. But I wanted to say I'm glad to hear about the programs that you're working on and working with the community. And I know there are sisters in Virginia and North Carolina in that area that are looking for other sisters to team up with. And so I hope to listen and get in contact with you. And thank you for your interest and your actions involving and your future plans involving the New Black Panther Party.
Can I say one more thing? On behalf of that, that's very, very important. The reason why it's such a rush and the reason why God is pushing this on me, because, you know, as you know, or if you don't know, the Charlotte is hosting the DNC next year.
Mm-hmm.
The Democratic Convention is going to be here. So all eyes are going to be on Charlotte. All eyes are going to be on Charlotte. You understand? Do you hear how powerful that is when I just said? All
and
eyes are going to be on Charlotte.
Charlotte.
Okay, so if I don't get a headquarter for our kings, okay, brothers to come in and force some real stuff out here, I ain't going to be doing my part. So I'm going to make sure I lay out the red carpet for next year for Black Panther Party or whoever else got some sense.
Yes,
you feel
ma'am.
What I'm saying? So I've got to work hard and lay it out now. You see what I'm saying? And so that way we stand strong. That way we have a voice, because I know all the ends, because I am school for TV and radio. So I know everyone. I know all the news places. I know all the radio. I know all of them. You see what I'm saying? I have
to
connect.
You sound like a great media
key.
Person. Mm-hmm.
So I'm sorry?
You sound like a great media person. We definitely need that. We need more of our sisters
exactly.
to definitely stand up to the media. We do.
Exactly. And because what they do is they don't show you the truth. They only give you 24% of the truth. That's
exactly.
what they teach you in school, to give them 24% of the truth. So if we have more local and more black-owned media, then we'll have our stories on front page. But because we have so many.
You're like breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, better. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, let me hush then, because I don't want to break up no one. I want to hear what else everybody else got to say.
You were breaking up. No, we want you
to
talk.
But you know,
we want everybody
on
this line to talk.
You know, it'd be a conspiracy. They don't want me to talk. I'm telling you, I get kicked out everywhere I go. Police are trying to take me to. I'm telling you. So let me hush now before I lose the call.
Okay, well, you need to come to Virginia. I got a couple of places we can get kicked out together.
No, that ain't the plan, sister. We got to get in there. We can't get kicked out. I ain't trying to come to no kickout party. I got enough kickout parties going on in Charlotte.
Well, I'm on the wrong line because I was so trying to get kicked out of the courthouse the other day. But Selma, Lord Selma.
But you know, I mean, I was out there actually to speak about that. We were out, Thug and John C. Barnett, we were out on behalf of Naomi Winfrey, and I've been posting
that
on Facebook a lot.
I'm
sorry?
That.
Tell
okay,
us about
yeah,
Naomi.
Okay, well, if you go on my YouTube channel, I've got a YouTube channel, and I'm focusing on, you know, police brutality and things that's going on in our community. And this girl, no prior records. She's not even 100 pounds, sister, not even 100 pounds. And we were actually at, now when she told me the story, me going to the courthouse and doing court patrol with her this morning, I could not believe my eyes at the size of this demon, at the size of this monster, at the size of this cracker. I couldn't believe it. I was so high I had to get out of there because I swear I would have been in jail. Just leaping over the thing. I mean, the man was, the cracker so big. Okay, so what he did, she got pulled over. He claimed she ran a red light. She didn't. He asked her to get out of the car. She asked why. And he got agitated. He reached in her car, unlocked her door, pulled her out by her neck, commenced to beating her head into her car. Therefore, she has dents in her car, blood splatter all on the back of her car. She's a mother of two. No prior records. Work at Red Lobster. So she's trying to make it. Understand? No prior records. She asked, why are you pulling me over? Why I got to get out of the car? One simple question. He pulls her out of the car by her neck, beats her head into her car. Eyewitnesses, people are watching this. She passes out unconscious. The police officer then had to call the ambulance, took her to the hospital, where he continued to verbally abuse her. While she was trying to come in and out and back into reality to figure out what happened and where she is, he's threatening her as she lay with the IVs and blood seeping from her head. And then to make matters worse, he still took this sister to jail.
Oh, no.
And so today was her court date. She's trying to scramble to find a lawyer. I'm not really certain because I don't want to give all the information. I don't know. I don't want to say the wrong thing. That's why John C. Barnett
right.
was over that. I was only over the media coordinating part of the thing. So I was doing her, you know, trying to push it and let people know what was going on. And so I think that they seen the buzz going on. They saw the buzz going on the internet and people talking about it, okay, because I was flooding the streets with flyers with her court date on there. They put me out the mall. They put me out the land out with it. Troy Davis was the police because I was asking the people how you felt about Troy dying. So I'm telling you right now, I ain't the one. I'm going to ask anyway. So anyway, so we're in the courthouse. I'm already talking loud. Oh, I'm about to call the Black Panthers out here now.
And you know, I've been saying that in courthouses around America all week. It's that time, people. People have been saying that in courthouses around America all week.
I'm telling you, it shakes them up. So they saw she had supporters, and they saw how I was dressed. They saw they didn't know who I was. They saw that okay, well maybe she, because she's talking about Black. And then I'm on my iPad, and my iPad on blast, and I'm listening to Minister Farrakhan talking about these crackers. I ain't talking about this Farrakhan. I can't help it on my iPad, sir. Sorry, sir. I'm just listening to the word. Okay. So anyway, to make a long story. I'm sorry. Make a long story short. The police, when she found out they couldn't, she told the court that she couldn't have her lawyer backed out on her the last minute. They proceeded to try to go ahead with the case, and so the officer was trying to get off, and her charges were assault to an officer.
But she's
so,
the one
you know,
bloody in the hospital and unconscious.
Right, and we have eyewitnesses, she's got pictures. I mean, it was just ridiculous. I mean, and I'm just trying to be mild with it because it really frustrates me, the fact that this is our system that we're dealing with, and I don't understand how more Black people aren't angry. Like Farrakhan said, somebody that's going to be bold and not be fearful. You can't be fearful at this time because what's coming and what's headed our way is going to get rid of the weak very quickly.
Exactly.
So, you know,
but we
he's
have
trying
to... Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm done.
Allow this media lady from Alabama to call. Allow this media host to call. Because I love to call and get them shaking in their boots. All of us to link up and get that information. You said you have it on the Facebook. I need to find it.
Oh, yeah. It's on my YouTube channel. Mm-hmm.
okay? And where do we find that at?
You can go to Miss and everything on there. Even the Troy Davis thing is on there. The whole thing that went down. You can go to my YouTube channel. It's Miss So Love One. That's MSSOLOVE and the number one. And even when you were talking about the Willie Lynch letter, I've been talking about the Willie Lynch letter 3 months ago when I first got my internet radio show. So you know I'm up on it. I'd be up on this type of stuff right here.
You know, I keep that Willie Lynch letter in my pocketbook. I break it.
I got it in my head, sister. I got it in my head, sister. I got it in my head.
You have to keep teaching our children these things. We have to keep teaching the children. We have to really grab out there, even our people that don't know no better. I teach them. I tell them all the time about, you know, the light and the dark and the woman against the man and the elder against the younger. So we definitely have to keep that a pumping. But we have another. I guess someone else is calling in now. If it's a brother or sister, don't kill them. 404-287-61. You're on Black Power Radio. You're on Black Power Radio. 404-287-61. You're on Black Power Radio.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, how you doing?
I'm fine. This is Sister Kimberly from the Black Panther Party in Atlanta, Decatur. And I was listening to some of your comments on the radio. And first of all, I would like to go out to the woman whose children is caught up in the system. I actually have been through a situation like that, and these people are doing a lot to manipulate us out of taking our kids as well as fighting back for them once they are in the system. They are very difficult to deal with. However, it's also hard to get a group of people together that cares enough about their children in order to fight back. So that's a problem within itself as far as organizing.
Sister, we can't just let you go with just that comment. Now, because we're sharing on this radio show, so what is it that you've gone through? Have you gone through something similar to what the sister talked about, what Sister Sylvia talked about?
That's what I'm saying. I have been through that, and what I'm saying is I agree with her that the system is, you know, manipulative, and they do take our children. They find the smallest things to use against us, you know, instead of assisting us with Family and Children Services is supposed to do.
How did you overcome that, sister, though? Were you able to get your children back?
Actually, I got my daughters back, but it took a whole lot of fighting and, of course, a private attorney. The public defender that I had, which normally in most cases did not represent me to the best of his ability, and as a result, I ended up losing them. However, like she said, not giving up and standing up for what's right and educating ourselves and, you know, involving ourselves in the system is what helped me get my children back.
Right.
But I got absolutely no help from the system. There's PUP funds and a number of other things that's supposed to be provided to the families in order for us to get our kids back, and they do not give us the same, you know, fair benefits that they do give the Caucasian family.
Right.
True.
Well, we become the enemy anyway. You know, everybody's against us because, like I said, you become the parent of the child, especially a mother. If you're a mother of a child that's in foster care, you get absolutely no respect, and you're treated like garbage. So they're not going to help you. They're not going to try to assist you. They're not going to – they don't care anything about you, you know. So you're right about that. If you don't, as a woman, knowing that all you have left is the fight for your children, they don't care. You know, and that's terrible because
they're making money off of our children, though.
Right,
they make
a lot of money, definitely.
And then, especially if they get that child, if they're foster parent and they become adoptees, then what they do is they put them children in sports or some kind of something, and they get paid off of that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, down the line.
Not only that, but then they have the ability to teach our children what they want them to learn.
And
you know, they take
slavery.
Them from me, so
yes.
I can't teach. Exactly. I can't teach my children the knowledge that they need to maintain in this level of unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This level of living out here. So what they do is they brainwash, because my daughter now, she's 14, and I've had her back since she was 6, and she still have a lot of confusion on, okay, my mama's this way, but, you know, that's not what they was teaching me. So, you know, she's going through her little phases and everything, and I'm trying to, you know, let her do it on her own. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of things that she believes in now go against what I believe in because that's what they taught her from such a young age. You know,
exactly.
So it's a lot of damage that they do. It's a lot of damage that they do.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. And that's what I was saying. And the lady who was talking about the bad men, I totally can agree with her also. I've had a bad experience. I used to try to, you know, maintain my relationships and, like she said, be a strong black woman, but there are some black men out here that will tear you down and take you through the motions, you know. I can agree with her saying that they don't want to take responsibility for the things that they need to do. I can honestly say that she, they are weak in some places. There are some good brothers, but, you know, in reference to those that she's speaking on, she touched a lot of good bases on what we need as a black community to survive. The women are taking on a lot of responsibility that we didn't have before, and it's causing us not to be able to fully be mothers, homemakers, and, you know, all of the other things that require our part as far as building our community. So she was right about that, and it's kind of difficult for us to be able to stand as a whole. We know our characteristics and everything, but it is kind of difficult when we do have distractions like our black men not stepping up to the plate when we need them.
But, you know, Sister brought up a point when she said that, you know, a lot of these brothers are saying you're too intimidating. You know, but I hear that a lot, too. The thing about it is I'm 100% woman every day, but I also have to be 50% man. And if I'm with a man that allowed me to be 50% man, then he's not man enough for me because I still have to carry what he lacks. You know?
Exactly. That's true.
On a daily basis, I have to get out here and I have to act like a man. I'm not a man, and I can't be a man, but I have to act like a man. So a lot of these men don't try to run over me. What if my car breaks down? I need to go up there and let them know, look, you're not going to take me for everything that I got. This is what
exactly.
This is the issue. This is what I need to fix. This is what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? When a lot of times I shouldn't have to be put in that position, but who else do I have?
May I interject in here a little bit, y'all?
Go ahead.
And I can relate to that also because that's the position I'm in. You know, who else do you have? So that's right. I am trying to understand. I'm building myself as a whole. You know, like she said, you have to find yourself first in order to maintain what you need to do. So you're absolutely right, and I do understand that. But how do we as women, you know, I'm going to say overcome that? Like, how do we work towards building with our black men without, you know, making belittling comments or so much as walking away from the situation and try to better it when we don't have much to pick from them trying to better themselves along with our relationships or what we're trying to be?
Well, I wanted to suggest,
are you asking me? I got to answer for that, honey.
Right.
Are you making a comment, sister?
We didn't know. I didn't know if you was making a comment or if you was asking.
I heard a question.
You know, you told me no comments. I'm asking strictly questions or, you know, just making my comments to agree. But that was
I was kidding with you, sister. You can comment.
I wanted to suggest a book for reading.
That was a question, and mainly for Ms. Salome. I think that's how you pronounce her name, but she had a lot of input, so I was kind of asking her, you know, how do we build from that? I know she was saying that there's a lot of, you know, no good men and stuff like that. So how do we as black women build our communities? And maybe give them something to come back to.
Is she asking me?
Anybody that answer, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay.
Start with you.
For me, and this is how I see it, because I guess, you know, how we look attracts men already, okay? But soon as we know who we are and know our place and know our position and also stick to that, don't waver. You understand what I'm saying? No flirting, no, you know, I remember that song back in the day, you can't show your teeth to every guy you meet. You understand what I'm saying? Sometimes men need, you can say things to them with a stern look on your face and they still going to listen because of how you look anyway. They can't even believe you talking to them. I talk to men and they hear me preaching to them. They listen to me because I look good. Okay, good, brother. Good.
because you ain't going to get none. You ain't getting no booty. I tell you that right now. So you want to get, you want to hear something? Sit down, have a drink with me, and I'll talk to you. You see what I'm saying? You got to come, you have to come sometimes break down to their level. You know what I'm saying? You drink a water. Make them think you're drinking. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever atmosphere you are in and you're surrounded by men, you've got to play that card. You've got to play that position with them. You understand what I'm saying? I'd be in the position of celebrities. I'm in the position of athletes all the time. Do you understand? And they are drawn to how I look. Okay, cool. But they go away with learning something from me. And that's what I think, and that's what I think that, that's what, thank you, my cousin, my aunt in here clapping. But I'm just saying, you know, I use that. I mean, y'all know I had a brother here earlier. He's getting information and he's learning. He's like, wow, if I want to get with this woman, I got to line up. And I give them that thought that maybe you could get with me, brother. But guess what? When you start lining up with how I'm talking, when you start lining up with my vision and what I see for you and for our future and for myself, then I will submit to you, brother. I have no problem with that. We can kick it all day. We can hang out all night. We can go see a movie if you want. We can go whatever you want to do. But guess what? My conversation to you on that ride is going to be, brother, what are you doing in your community, brother? What can we do together, brother? You want to go on a date with me? Let's go in the community and talk to these kids. I love to go on a date with you, brother. Let's go. You understand what I'm saying to you?
Mm-hmm. I understand.
Are you hearing me? You can start like that. You can start small. Start small. You understand what I'm saying? Start small. Because we can't be fearful of these men. I know that they are, a lot of men out there are lost. They are. But us as women, we have to be that voice of reason to them in the state that they're in. That's why we're given that divine power as a woman to draw them to us. They're drawn to us for a reason. So we have to stay strong, no matter what they're saying. Somebody going to hear you, and somebody needs to hear you. So continue on, and like I told the other sister, I'm waiting on my king. I'm throwing the jacks like on the table. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to leave that jack with a little knowledge, and I'm going to keep it moving. You see what I'm saying? Hey, Jack, how you doing, Jack? Love to see you, Jack. Love you, brother. Talk to you later, brother. Holla. You see what I'm saying? He's going to walk away learning something from me and seeing how strong I am and seeing that I'm still his friend. You can call me anytime you want, brother. I'm here. Yeah. You can call me. Guess what? When you call my phone, when you call this number, you're going to learn something from me. You're going to see how strong I am. You're going to line up or move behind me. Are you going to line up with me or I'm going to keep moving? Do you understand what I'm saying? I ain't going to leave you where you at. I'm going to leave you with something before I move on.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I'm done. I'm putting my phone on mute.
Basically,
that means she's still talking. We just can't hear.
Right. She's still talking. She's still running. But, no, we really have to, as queens and as sisters, we definitely have, and goddesses, we definitely have to make people respect us, so to speak. And it comes through respecting ourselves first. So,
exactly.
Let's drop that. And that's just, I'm just going to make it, you know, I don't have all the eloquent words that the sister has and the tone she uses. I'm just going to tell you straight up, look, just respect yourself and, you know, respect will come due. And we have to force people to respect us, you know, because, you know, we've all we got essentially, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody else want to comment on what the sister said or ask her a question or anything like that?
I just had one other question. I heard her speaking about the police and the court patrol, anything mm-hmm. that happened with the young lady in reference to the officer beating her. Is there any type of protest or rallies or anything that you guys are holding, or did that officer get convicted of anything, or is that case still pending against the young lady?
Okay, well, I think John C. Burnett is probably trying to get through on the line because he handles that, and that's what I was explaining earlier about the different compartments of the Freedom Party. He is a civil rights leader. Now, yes, we do need somebody a little stronger than him because he's got a certain way of doing things on his program. Do you understand what I'm saying? But what I think needs to be done, and that's why I'm trying to lay those bricks and lay that red carpet down for a brother like Malik Zulu Shabazz or whoever else in that organization, the Black Panther organization, want to come down. So because I feel like needs to be a stronger force to come down to implement those things. You understand what I'm saying? We're laying a foundation, but we need someone stronger. You understand what I'm saying? So, yes, we are going to continue, even if she got it closed, even if the case is done. I'm not sure. I left because the police dragged me off. They ran me off, so I had to leave a little earlier than I wanted to. But the fact of the matter is I'm going to continue on. Regardless of what happens with her case, I'm planning now a protest and a march because I saw what was needed on the outside. So they had us quiet because we were all on the inside. But had we had permission to march or have permission to have our protest and rally going on against this this devil, this bad cop, this bad seed, then there would have been noise outside of the courthouse. You understand what I'm saying? Drawing that attention because there was a lot of black men and black women inside that court fighting those same demons, fighting those laws, fighting those same police officers. They had no outlet. So, yes, we do need people like Malik Zulu Shabazz or Farrakhan or whoever to come down with that strength. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, therefore, yes, I am going to continue on, and we're going to go back to that spot, and we're going to continue to go back to that spot because there's so much voices that aren't being heard and that need someone like that to come and enforce those laws.
Okay, let me ask y'all a question while we're on this phone, because we do have some folk that feel like, you know, what are y'all thoughts on protesting? Because some of our people feel like that is just, it's not going to solve anything. And what are y'all thoughts up on protest?
I would like to make a comment on that.
Go ahead.
I'm not going to say that protests don't make a difference. I think the way that we go about doing them is we have to become more organized. We have to start securing. However, we know we don't want to do the crackers laws, but we still have to permit ourselves in a manner where we can be heard. So when there's permits, when there's permits or anything like that that needs to be, established before we go out to do protests so they won't be illegally disrupted. If there's, if we need to speak out on radio stations, I'm going to say via email, we need to do a lot of footwork. We need to start pushing our protests more. We're not being heard because there's not enough of our community coming together. We're 20, 30 million people strong because we all are part of the red, black, yellow, and brown community. So we are the majority, but however we've been instilled that we're the minority, and as long as we're separated as a whole by religion, by, race, color, creed, and all of this type of stuff that they're putting in front of us, we're never going to come together as a black community and build black nationalism, and we can't push pan-Africanism without that. So we have to start from scratch. Yeah, we can protest and all that, but we got to have the information that we need to put out there. Everything has to be accurate. We can't keep talking about slavery. We've been slaves and all the type of stuff that we're going through and where our community has been 400 years ago as well as current. We have to work on the issues that's right now, and I think that's why most of our protests is not being heard. Some of the things that we're still asking for, we've already received. However, if we're not educating ourselves and putting out the information that needs to be put out there, then nobody in the governmental system is going to hear it.
You're right. I just want to say one thing to that.
Before you say that, sister, now, slavery is in our DNA. So, sister, with all due respect, we still have to talk about it. It's just not going anywhere. So whether it's a physical bondage or a mental bondage, it's still post-traumatic, and this is what our people do suffer from. So we can't. It's not going anywhere because we're still, wearing the mental chains of it. You know what I mean? So we do have to keep talking about it. Now, whether or not they want to listen to that or not, that's on them. But, it's something that is in our DNA, unfortunately.
Let me rephrase what I'm saying. What I mean by that is, and I apologize, Sister Amira, I'm not trying to cut you off. Yes, we do have to keep talking about slavery because that is, a part of something that has happened to us in the past and the present. And in the near future, if we don't change things. However, we also need to make people understand that this is a form of modern-day slavery. Just like Jim Crow and all the other terms of slavery changed, they do need to know about their ancestral background in order for us to go back to our culture.
That's
but
true.
However, we
That's
need
true.
To make our people aware of, like she said, the banking systems, currency.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make them understand about, you know, stem cell research, why it's not important for our children to get vaccines. We need to make them understand how they're
exactly.
hiding.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You right,
Sister Kill? I got my fist in the air, y'all.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is the thing. If you go,
can
I want to address the protesting real quick because I was out there at Troy Davis' execution and at his funeral. And I was if you watch my video, the one I did of the day of his execution, I was out there screaming, no justice, no peace. You know what I'm saying? And I used my voice. I just wasn't just talking. I did it. I was there. I drove. And I, cause see, a lot of people say, oh, I ain't got the time or I ain't got the money, but you got the time to go to a football game. You got the time to go to a movie. You got time to go to a mall and give these crackers your money. You understand what I'm saying? There are certain sacrifices that have to be made, period. On every individual, period. I mean, and that's and once we know as the consumer how much power we have, we're the consumer, okay? We hold the power. If we don't buy it, it don't get bought. So therefore, for me, I had to say, you know what? Let me stop putting my money into the bull. Excuse my language, I ain't want to cuss, but the bull, and start focusing, okay, let me start an organization. Let me start with me. Let me start by putting my money into something that will help our people or help whoever needs the help. Understand what I'm saying? So I'm taking my money out of Crackers Bank, and I'm saying, okay, I already see the downfall of the banks that's going on. So if I'm going to gamble with my money in the bank, let me go to the Black Bank. So all my members are doing that on Monday. So we start there. Okay, and so not only do we start there, because this Black bank that we're putting our money into on Monday is the only bank that's giving out loans. It's the only bank that will give us money to start an organization like Freedom Voices. You understand what I'm saying? That's showing as I'm doing this, as I'm being a leader, as I'm walking into my destiny, I'm showing other women that they can do the same thing. Other sisters came to me and said, well, I have a garden in the back. And you know the government is saying you can't have gardens no more. That's about to be against the law, to have your own personal garden. I told her, I said, you know what? Why are you going to wait for them to say you can't have it? Start now. I will buy you. I told her, I will buy you jars because she makes her own personal baby food, her own this and that, you know, applesauce and stuff like that. I said, you know what? Start stocking up now. Even if you don't want to prepare now, at least start buying the jars. Okay, you took the first step. I will buy the jars for you. Prepare for the worst. You understand what I'm saying? For our people. Because you can't go to the grocery store and buy anymore, because that's going to happen when the currency drops, when the money drops, and you can't buy nothing no more. We have to start with what our own resources are that God has given us, our own given talents. Okay? He's given us all. And he already said in the Bible, I've given you talents, and your gift will make room for you. So that means whatever her talent is, okay, sister, you know how to make food. That is great, sister. I love that. I will give you some money. I'm going to sacrifice 2 pairs of shoes for $200 and buy you 200 jars for your business. She don't even know she has it. I've seen her business in my vision, just off of my face.
May I say something to you, sister?
Yes, ma'am.
I was listening to what you were saying about the Black Bank. I agree and I disagree, and let me explain. I'm a customer of a Black Bank, and I have to honestly say that we are finding right now, see, this is why we have to thoroughly define modern-day slavery. This is what they're doing to us now. Of course it is better to invest into our Black communities and our Black banks. However, we still have to be careful on who we're investing with. There are some bootlicking Uncle Tom niggas that walks around every day that worship this damn Illuminati system, as well as this bomb theory and the skull and bones, and they've actually been branded and, you know, trained in order to manipulate us as a Black community. Now, with all due respect, I found out that my Black bank was taking money out of my Black bank, supposed to be taking. They're actually charging more overdraft fees than any other banking system that I've dealt with. So it's all about who you're dealing with. We still have to stop oppression in our own communities. We suffer oppression in our homes.
Of course,
we
but sister, that's trial and error. You're still going to have to gamble regardless of what you do. You learn from the mistake.
Exactly. If you just let me finish, and then you'll understand what I'm saying. All I'm saying is, I understand we got to take care of Whitey and all of that on the side of the issue, but however, there's still some bootlicking up upon niggas that works for these white people that we think that are in place that wants to assist their black communities that are making bigger fools out of us than these crackers. We have to start getting these, if we get these bootlicking niggas out, the white man wouldn't be able to control us. They're using
and
our own
you're
people
absolutely
to get
right,
us.
And you're absolutely right. But we have to make the mistake in order to continue to find the right.
No,
you see what I'm saying?
See, that's the problem. We've made several mistakes in our ancestral history and our cultural environment. We watched these bootlicking niggas bring us into slavery. That's what the problem is. We have to stop making mistakes and start justifying what's going on, correcting the situation, and move towards a militia or some type of coalition and take over. We can't make mistakes. There's no room for that.
But what you're saying, but sister, what you're saying and what I'm explaining to you is the banks that I am standing firm to say today, I've done my research. So I can't help it. You made a mistake, and you had the trial and error. So thank God that you did, because now you can say, listen, she's right, but make sure you pick the right black bank. That's perfect. That's perfectly fine. But at least I found, guess what, I got an answer to your problem. You had the wrong black bank, I got the right one. It takes trial and error. Whoever it is, you have to lead by an example. I got to get burnt to tell you don't get burnt. They'll get burnt over here. Or I got burnt over here. But don't get burnt over there, girl. Let's keep trying till we find it. It's going to happen. To you, me,
yes.
Whoever, it's going to happen. But we're going to continue to fight till we find an answer. You can't just stop and say, well, I got burnt. Well, the black thing did it too. You got to find one that takes that burn you. Period.
Hold on, sister.
Regardless of what, we already know this game is meant for us to fail. That's already a given. But that's why we are called fighters.
If we already know that this game is meant for us to fail, then why do we fail? This is the game. Everything that has been created over here in this world, everything that has been done over here in this fake United States, the black community created. We don't have to fail at anything because we've already perfected everything by building a community for the white man to take over. This is what we got to understand. That's why I said that we understand slavery and the actual time behind that, then we wouldn't keep living in this brain where we got to make mistakes. What mistakes were we made when we had the first open-heart surgeon, or the first person to make peanut butter, or the first person to free slaves? We have to look at all the things that we were first in. We've been first so long that black people don't have room for mistakes. See, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Mistakes are made only when you don't research or you don't do what you need to do thoroughly. I researched my black bank. I also found out that they're doing a lot of things in the system, like when they put holes on your account. They're not supposed to put a hole on your account. The FDIC insures personal accounts up to $250,000 per account. So whatever you do in your account from here, if you write a bad check, if you make a wrong deposit, your bank does not have the authority to put any type of hold on your money. Now, I just went through it, and she told me that the system will put a hold on my check because that's what it asked for. Well, ma'am, when I sat there and went through the procedure with this woman, I looked in the system and saw that she was manually typing in, and then the bank president had to tell me it's to the person's discretion who I'm dealing with to tell me if they're going to give me my funds or not. That's still a form of discrimination. It is not to their discretion to tell me if my check is good or not. That's why I have a bank account and I'm supposed to be able to utilize. So you gotta understand the banking system too.
No one's saying you're not right. You're absolutely
no,
right. Sister, this is turning into a debate. No one, neither you or I have the total answer but God. Period, point blank. Period, point blank. So therefore, this conversation that we're having, it's great that we're having this conversation because, like I said, I've done my research on the bank here in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they have no fault for I can see. Maybe you should come down to Atlanta and thoroughly do it for me so I won't make a mistake. Could you do that for me, sister?
I'm just saying, you know, I'm not trying to get aggressive. I don't do, you know, debate.
I'm not getting aggressive. I'm just saying, if you know the bank system thoroughly, why don't you come down and you do a thorough, why don't you do some homework and give us that, and give us, how about you do a thorough research on all the black banks there is, and you tell us, that's what I'm saying, show, know your worth. You know the banking system. That's your department. You see what I'm saying? If you don't, if I don't know it, tell me. Tell me where to go. You see what I'm saying?
You just got through saying that we have to put information out there.
Thank you.
We have to give out information. You just got through saying, I'm going to answer your question. You just got through saying we have to give out the correct information to our community in order for them to know that they got to start investing back in black banks and investing back in their black community. But if you don't feel like you got the time to research everything that you enter into, especially contractual agreements with these crackers, because the black bank still ran by the cracker. They're still getting funds in FDIC as a cracker, so we still dealing with the cracker whether we want to or not.
Exactly. And that's what I said, and I already answered that question when I said we got to gamble. If we're going to gamble, we're going to have to gamble black.
I didn't cut you off. If you just give me another half a second. What I'm saying is, if you don't feel like what you need to do every day in your life is needed to be thoroughly researched. Because you have to research things before you enter into any contractual agreement. If you're just going to sign your John Hancock and expect that you're going to learn from your mistakes, then you got a problem and you're going to always stay in debt. Now, with all due respect, no, I can't research every banking center, but I can research the ones that I'm dealing with thoroughly before I enter into an agreement that I can't get myself out of, because all of it is a capitalist system, regardless of if it's a black, white, green, yellow, or red bank. Otherwise, it wouldn't be such things as loans and all of that, because we already own more than 40 acres and a mule. We should just be able to go, banking system was created to just hold our money. They get paid a little bit to make sure our money's safe. Whether they come in that we got to go borrow money back from them, whether they come in that we got to work a certain amount of years before we can get a loan, what the fuck is a FICO score? No, you really have to research more than what you're talking about, and you don't understand what I'm saying.
Oh, no, sister, I know what you're talking about. I hear what you're saying. I agree exactly what you're saying. I know. I've done my research, sweetie. Trust me, I have. That's why I said it's not a debate. I'm saying you're right. And I'm saying that I've done my research on my end. I don't trust the banks. Trust me. If you go on my channel, you will see that on my Facebook, I have a call from Jefferson.
If you don't trust the bank, why would you be out here encouraging your people to invest in black?
Okay. Let me answer that question. I'm saying simply, if you're going to put your money into a bank, that's all I'm saying. If you choose on your own God-given will, even if I don't agree. Ma'am, if you are going to do it, even if I don't agree, even if I know I don't trust the bank, I know I don't. But, ma'am, if you are, if you're going to gamble anyway, if you're going to do it, even if I tell you not to do it because I'm telling you it ain't a good choice to do it anyway, take all your money out of the bank, period. I don't trust no bank, period. I agree. I understand the Illuminati. I know the world order. I know what's going on. But if you're going to gamble, gamble black.
This is what I'm saying.
Okay, sister, let her finish her point. Sister, let her finish her point real quick. Sister Kim, let her finish her point real quick, and then you can go.
Sure,
and then you
I'm
can
sorry.
Finish your point.
I apologize.
That's okay. And then you can finish your point. Go ahead, sis.
After this, I'm done with it. I mean, either way it goes. It's great that we're having this debate. I love it. This is what I do. But the fact of the matter is it's still up to the person what they're going to do. It's still up to the individual what they're going to do. And we already see that people are asleep. We already see that people are naive. We already see that our people are slow and dumb. That's evidence. We already know that we're 300 years, 400, 500 years, 1,000 years behind. Everything that we do has already been planned by the cracker. We already know this. We already failed. We're already designed to fail. Understood. I understand that. But because it's so hard to wake people up to understand what you and I understand, because that's why we have that leader role. That's why you have that leader role. That's why I have that leader role. My position is not spanking. That's not my position, okay? What my position is freedom voices and getting other outlets out there. And that's why I'm saying to you, since you are so passionate about that, that's great that we're having this conversation because now I'm learning more. And that's why I'm going to take what you're telling me, and I'm going to continue to do race research, and therefore I'm going to find somebody to get on that department and tell them about what the banking system is really about. That's a whole other subject, and a whole thing that needs to be addressed. You understand where I'm coming from? Am I clear on that? Am I clear? I just want to make sure I'm clear and I'm good.
Yes, you are. Now, you were saying something about you do freedom speeches, and I understand that. But isn't a part of freedom is for us to instill in our people that we should not support?
Of course, ma'am. I'm agreeing with that.
I'll let you talk. I'm not even going to take 3 minutes. What I'm saying is we have to learn, first of all, we need to be building our own currency. The dollar bill is not worth anything, so we don't need to be storing and stocking any of that. We need to be teaching our people to take this wicked dollar bill and turn it into resources. Like you said, food, clothing, shelter, assets. You know why the white man is so perfect, such perfectionist, and they have the money that they have? Because they have assets. They don't worship the dollar bill because they already know the wicked thing behind it. We don't care about their banking system. We don't need to support any bank that's open. Any bank that's open, they have capitalist mentality. We need to learn how to turn all our stuff into resources. By the end of the year, the dollar bill is not going to be worth anything. So you investing in a black bank really ain't going to get you nowhere. Invest in your community, like you said, by building gardens. Take over some of these abandoned properties. Put your money into that. House some of these homeless people. Get your people off the street. Take your money and put it into running off copies of real education about our cultural history. There are so many other things you can do besides supporting a black bank just because it's a black bank. So that's all I wanted to say. You know, and like you said, if you understand Illuminati and you're doing freedom speeches, the first thing you need to do is free your people through your speeches by telling them to quit worshiping the dollar bill that the Illuminati created, and we can become a better place.
Okay. Well, Sister Kim, I really appreciate you calling in because I'm sure a lot of our people did not know about the banking system. And I'm sure that they would appreciate you. And sister, you should really do more. I agree. Now, don't jump on me, sister. Now, because I know where you are. but honestly, no. All jokes aside, but honestly, you really should put like that information out more to our people because a lot of our people do not know about it, and they're not going to take time to read. So you are the voice. You are the voice for our people, or for our sisters, sister. You definitely should like. Gain more in research and give more of our people more of that research because you just broke down in like plain language. You didn't even speak above nobody's head. You just broke it down in plain language. Like, and I'm like, wow, okay. Some of that stuff you talked about, I didn't even know. So you definitely need to talk about that, sister. I agree with the sister about you giving people more research and more information upon it. I definitely agree. I don't care what you say. I think that that's good, and the way you can break it down in plain language, I think that's wonderful.
Well, thank you very much, Sister Mia.
All right, sis, I'm going to go ahead and continue to listen unless you got any more comments. You got any more comments?
Oh, no, ma'am, not at this time. I appreciate the time you gave me. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
Black power.
I love it. I love to be able to get more people. If we can get more people to educate our people, sisters, we'll be so much more blessed. I'm going to call on, and let me just say this, because I know a lot of our callers, because again, really technically, we're in the after show at this stage, but I know a lot of people that are calling in, and they're feeling like they need to get in, they're taking offense to it, but it shouldn't be offensive. This is really Sisters Night, so I'm trying to get as many of my scheduled guests that's supposed to be on here tonight. That's basically what I'm getting in, and if I could take a couple of people, you know, I would do that. If I can't, then you just have to call in the next time. So we have 904-405-05. You're on Black Power Radio.
Hey, sister, this is Dominique in Jacksonville, Florida.
Yes, sir.
I'm a member of the Black Panthers here, the chapter here.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to elaborate on what the other sister was talking about as far as meeting black men. I'm thinking that she's in North Carolina, but in Jacksonville, Florida, there's not that many women that would be willing to go out and into the community and try to reach our lost sisters and brothers.
Okay.
And for her to say that she's, you know, I guess intimidating to some men, I beg to differ.
Okay.
I think that she just hasn't found the right man. And with the epidemic that our youth is going through, mm-hmm. is because of, and I know it's mostly women on here, so I'm not trying to offend anybody.
Be careful, brother.
But,
be careful.
Well, most of the guys, the young teenagers that's out here committing crimes towards mm-hmm. each other
mm-hmm.
is because we're trying to impress the black woman. And, you know, if the black woman wouldn't look up to that thuggish mentality, we wouldn't do it. Because I'm just in awe with how it has changed with our community as far as our women. Our women, we used to look up to our women because they was, you know, smarter than we was. We used to, if you could just hold a female's hand, it meant something. But now you have to, you know, portray an image in order to impress that woman.
Okay, well, brother, let me ask you a quick question real quick, brother. Now, do you think that that's necessarily because of the way black women are, or do you think that the society has turned us all against each other?
I think it's a combination of the rap music, the entertainment industry, of our perception of being successful.
Okay.
And, you know, when I was coming up, it used to be to just have a job, you know, to be a policeman or a fireman or a business owner or a doctor or whatever. I'm a former NFL player, and I've come from one of the worst areas in Jacksonville, so I have seen it. From dirt poor to the most rich, but I was getting an echo. But are you there?
Yes, brother. Go ahead. We're listening.
Okay. I just feel that when you go to your job, 8-to-5 job, 9-to-5 job, you have to. Yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, to a white person.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come home, you don't do the same thing to your spouse or your significant other.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the system and society is more catering towards black women or women, period, in corporate America. And that's part of the system dividing the family, dividing the black family. And I just wanted to touch on what the other sister was saying about getting out into the community and creating resources for our people. You know, like I said, I played professional ball. I played professional football. And it's a different world than corporate America because society treat us a little bit different than the average person.
Okay.
But,
brother, you can't just say that. You're going to have to expound on that because some people may not understand or overstand what you're exactly saying. So could you, like, expound a little bit on that point about, you know, how you're treated? the whole point of how you all are treated. You said when you're in the NFL, it's a difference between the NFL and the corporate world. If you could break that down for listeners.
We get more perks. We get more perks than the average person.
Okay.
They look at us as celebrities. And, you know, it took me a while to adjust back to society. And, you know, for a while I didn't see a hearse, and it was like a culture shock to see some of the things, you know, that I was, you know, used to growing up around. But to kind of finish what I was trying to say, until we get our people, until we can create jobs for our people, I think we're going to always just be talking. And I joined the Black Panthers because of the chairman that was here and the strong messages that he was, you know, talking about the issues that was going on here in Jacksonville. I was not aware that the police brutality is so widespread. And we could talk about what they do all day long, but until we start, and when I say we, I mainly mean Black men, there's a way to fix this, but we have to tap into all of our resources, and it takes somebody to be strong, like Malik Zulu Shabazz. It takes those people to stand out front. But, you know, I joined this chapter because I feel that I'm a great asset to our community, and I feel that I could bring something to the table. I'm just trying to, you know, really play my part in getting into my community and bringing these resources out front. But we have to have our sisters to support the fact that a white man would speak to you guys just because of your features. Just because you have features that we don't before he would speak to us.
Of course.
Can I say something? I've been putting my phone on mute the whole time. Because I was up in here pacing back and forth, because I used to live in Duval. I used to live in Jacksonville for 7 years. Okay?
Okay.
Know all about Jacksonville. Okay?
It's conservative.
And I see what has happened to Jacksonville. Thank God that the Lord planted my feet elsewhere. I'm sorry to say it, but it's bad out there right now. It's gotten that bad. Okay? Now, to address the fact when you said the women, because I used to date NFL players. I know all about that as well. Lavernius Coles, you know, he lives in Jacksonville.
I'm very good friends with Lavernius Coles.
Okay, and ask him who Slash is. Guarantee he knows. Guarantee you that.
Okay,
That's
fine.
That.
I know him mama.
I know all that's what I'm telling you. I used to live in Jacksonville, okay? I used to work at Cheetahs. That's how I met Lavernius, okay? But regardless of the fact, let me explain to you this. When I met Lavernius, he saw that I wasn't going after his money because I had already seen and done that already. But the fact that what you said is that the women are all after the money. Let me explain to you why and the mindset of a girl who's brought up by a mother.
I didn't say that.
No. You said something along the lines of men feel like they have to impress a woman, right?
That's what you said, right? What I meant by that is going out, selling drugs to do hustle,
whatever,
to impress that woman.
I hear, and I'm trying to address you with that. I'm trying to give you an answer of why it's that way, sir.
I promise you I'm with you.
So hear me, and let me tell you the reason why, because I'm a product of that. My mother was married to my father, who gave her everything, but she abused that. She dogged him out, because you have women out there who will dog a man out because he got bread
and just using them for his money, and then you get a man that becomes scorned and feel like all women are gold diggers, okay? But you have to understand the mindset of the mother and the child, the relationship. When you have a broken mother who is raising children by herself because the man is cheating on her every chance he gets, dogging her out, cussing her out, abusing her while she's sitting at home trying to stay with him, regardless of all the signs. Regardless
all
of the
men are not like that.
Hear me out. I'm speaking, sir.
We said some, brother. We're generalizing.
I'm speaking on my father. And I'm telling you the reason why I was a product of that. And now I'm not anymore. Understand me. Mm-hmm. My mother told me and my two younger sisters, don't y'all end up like me. If you're going to be with a man, make sure he got something to give you, because all they want is in between your legs. So if you're going to lay down with a man, make sure you got something. You hear me, sir? Are you hearing me? This is what my mother taught me. Not find a man who's going to love you. Hear me out, sir. I'm not done. My mother didn't teach me to find love. She didn't teach me how to recognize a king when I saw it. She told me to go after the money because he's going to only go after the good. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, sir?
I'm listening.
Hello?
I'm listening.
I don't know. Something's wrong with the phone line.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, but there's a bug going on. But the fact of the matter is that the fact of the matter is, you are absolutely right. But we cannot give that as an excuse for the man, because, like I said earlier, it's divine order. It's God, man, woman, child, and woman, child. So therefore, if the man is out of the equation, which is a trap anyway from the man, from the cracker, from day one, little Willie Lynch letter, we already know that, because back in the day, he disgraced the man by raping the black woman. In front of the black woman, do you understand? And from the black man, do you see what I'm saying? So all of this has already been trained. It's already been trained. This is how far back we are, sir. So, okay, so now you have women who are like, you know what? I'm not going for that. And then on top of that, like I told earlier, the dark-skinned girl, if you even watch the CNN program, you got kids out here thinking that black is ugly. I raised up in a generation, I'm an 80s baby, I was born 1980, where I saw on TV, it was black power, black this, and black medallions, and black is beautiful, and all that. Somehow along the way, our parent generation, that older generation before us, has failed us. Somewhere in between that 30-year, 40-year gap has been failed. That's where we are today. Are you hearing what I'm saying, sir?
I'm with you.
Are you following what I'm saying? So therefore,
I'm always with you.
Yes, and it's still a curse. And so I said, even today, as a 31-year-old, I know my worth now. I know how beautiful I am now. And even now, I'm still waiting. And it's not that I can't find a man. Is that I know my worth now. And now that I know my worth, I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to accept what is not pleasing in my eyes. Are you following what I'm saying? So therefore, we have a train wreck across the board, because our men, most of our black men are in jail. Half of our black men are gay. And the other piece of them are undercover gay. And all of this has been set up for 300 years, to last 300 years. Are you following me, sir?
I'm following you,
sir. So therefore, what you are doing, and you standing firm in your position in Jacksonville, Florida, where it is so needed, and I know it's hard out there for you, because I used to live in Jacksonville. I know bigger rankings. I know all of them people. They know me. So I understand, and I'm thankful for you. We need more people to stand up and to stand and to serve. So you're doing your part by even being on this radio station right now, because now I'm like, well, damn, it's light at the end of the tunnel. So therefore, the more we come together in conversations like this, not just conversation and talk, but actually going out and doing, like I told the other sister, whatever your gift is, let that be your job. Stop working for the cracker and let that be your job. Now I'm taking my money, I'm sacrificing my money and investing in other black women to start their businesses. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? So, therefore, even with you being an ex-NFL player, it took you to get to come back into reality because you were living that glitz and glamour. I know how it is. I know how the NFL players play. And I understood I was part of that product because they only wanted me because I looked good. They only wanted me because I was a trophy. You understand where I'm coming from? So we don't even, black women don't even know their worth, but a white man does. So you're absolutely right, sir. You're absolutely right. But understand the reason why. Because they have broken down the black man to such a low. They've broken down the black man to such a low that the woman has to take the control and say to her daughter, don't you go for that raggedy man. Don't you go for that terrible man. Don't you go for that drope dealer. Don't you go for that. Go for somebody with some money. Because they're going to trap you either way it goes. That is evident. That's in our face. Do you agree with that, sir?
I'm with you, sister, but can I interject for a second?
I'm done. I'm putting it on mute. Go ahead.
I'm hearing you, and I think that you have had some very bad experiences with some men with money. And you are right. They do want to use women that look good, shape good, and as a trophy. But if a man doesn't have God in his life, what do you expect?
That's true, brother.
So, like I was saying to you, sister, you have met the wrong people, and it might be the timing that you have met the wrong people. It might even be the play, because even when I was playing, I rarely went out to clubs. Mm-hmm. I heard you talking about a drink. I heard you talking about even if you got to put some water in there to make it seem like you're drinking. It's probably your surrounding what you're looking for. Do you remember Mary J. Blige? She had a video, and she was walking through reporters, and all these fans was outside. And as she was passing them, they was turning into demons.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. No more drama.
Okay.
That was the video. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Trust me. And I'm not trying to say I'm like Mary J. Blige, but I had that same experience.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I have too.
Okay, well, what I'm saying is there's a higher power that controls a real man. When you talking about these gays and all of this stuff, even the women, you know, some people promote women on women. And you know, that's a turn on to them. When we can interject into our community, just like a dope boy. A dope boy ride around with his rims, his music, his clothes, and that's an influence to our children. We have to be just like a dope boy. If we want to make a change, we have to get out. And we have to go door to door and show these people that we care. We need to go to these schools and show our presence. That's what it's going to take.
You're right.
Because we need to be more proactive than reactive.
Mm-hmm. Action, action. Mm-hmm.
We need to stand out, just like a dope boy. We need to stand out. And
right.
what I'm starting to find out is, these white folks do not want us to unite.
Exactly.
And it is an honor to be in this party that
mm-hmm.
I'm in.
Amen, brother.
Okay. It is an honor. And I'm surrounded by a bunch of weak brothers here in Jacksonville. Some backstabbing, snitching, wannabe. And they'll throw you under the bus just to keep their job, okay? So I'm with you. I'm listening to you. But I promise you, you have been in the wrong setting to find the man.
Okay. Let me clarify when I was talking about the drinks, because I don't think you caught what I was saying. I was saying as far as any kind of woman, wherever you are, whether you're in a bar, whether you're at the grocery store, and you in the grocery store line. Wherever
you
are.
I love Walmart.
Okay, well, Walmart, wherever you are, my thing is adapt. Like you're saying, stand out. Wherever you are, adapt. because there's men all around. And I'm saying wherever I am, I'm showing and leading by example. They're looking at me, yes. But guess what? When you come and talk to me, I'm not going to say, I don't frown up and be all nasty. What you want? And then I don't do that. How you doing, brother? What's going on? Yeah, you can talk. What you got to say? You see what I'm saying? You have to stop shutting men down because you just never know who God is sending to you for what reason.
What's your name?
See what I'm saying? My name is So Love.
Okay. I never met a sister that is willing to go out into the community. So that is.
And you're in the same organization that I'm in, brother. I go out into the community. I mean, it's a lot of
No, I'm talking about here.
Oh,
I'm talking
about
here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was going to say it's a lot
of that is very attractive. So I'm not sure when you made the comment, you know, you wanted to check a brother and see if he would be willing to do anything in his community. And like I said, I just feel that you never met the right person.
Well, I hear you. And like I said, I'm not looking. But whatever comes my way, I try to continue to be a strong black woman. I'm learning every day my power.
Right.
I'm learning every day my crown. I'm learning every day how to wear my crown. Let's put it that way. But the fact of the matter is that it's still the man that has to lead. It's only a woman that can give a shoulder and give good advice or give that intercessor. You feel what I'm saying? It's still a man's role. And what you're doing, like you're saying, you even see the lack there is. So therefore, with you doing what you're doing, joining this organization, like I said earlier, people want to call the Black Panther movement or they racial or whatever case may be, but there are a lot of things that black men and black women can learn from this organization because there's none other like it.
That's true.
So we have to form. This is the only form. This is the only. I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
Your choices of words will carry you a long ways to find the right man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I can't give you an example. You just have to really, you know, fill in the blanks on what I'm trying to say. I could see and I could hear that you're a strong woman.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel that you have been betrayed.
I mean, a lot of us, brother, a lot of our sisters and a lot of our brothers, we all have been betrayed as a nation. So.
But when you love God, when you love God, you can shed all of that, those dead leaves off of you. But I still hear it in your tone of voice, and I'm just trying to reach out to you. So
let me tell you, brother, Brother, I want you to write this down because this is who I am 24 hours a day. Anybody that knows me, and this is what the enemy is trying to contain from me, and this is what I've been reading and searching on. What Farrakhan is saying, we don't need no weak spirits right now. We don't need no weak
spirits.
I mean, I'm speaking because this is the format that we can speak this way on because we all understand each other. But this is who I am 24 hours of the day because I'm not going to give you. Water down, so love. I can't do it. I'm not going to do it. If you don't like it, I'm sorry. I love you. I'll talk to you tomorrow. You feel me? But the fact of the matter is I am strong and comfortable at this level. I had to find this strength. Do you understand? Because if I didn't, I wouldn't be on the phone right now. I would be one of those weak sisters that you see around in Jacksonville. Do you understand? So my whole thing is, like I said, I don't come across that way anymore when I come in contact and encounter with men when I'm out and about on my daily life. I stop and I listen to them before I tear into their ass. Okay? I'm sorry. I had to get an ass in there.
Let me just say this. This show, number one, this show is not a bashing of brothers, but this is a sister's night, so we're going to dig in deep. We can't be so afraid to have these types of discussions because where are we going to move to? We do have weak men in the community. Hell, we have weak
community.
We have weak people in the community. And the whole point of these discussions is to really develop more of our people to come out of this, I don't know, shadow that they're in, to come out the darkness, to come into the damn light. And that's what has to happen. We can't keep playing these games. We can't keep tickling each other's fancies because we're not going to get no damn word. This is freedom.
Yeah, right.
We put on that patch. Your patch says freedom or death, damn it. And you wearing it proudly because I wear mine proudly. So I can't keep, and I'm not, as a warrior queen, going to keep holding brothers' hands, tickling their fancies, making them smell and feel good all the damn time, because sometimes things are raw, ugly, not cute, stinky, and it's just like shit. You know what I mean? It's like shit. So every day I'm walking outside of my house and I see shit, I'm going to say that is shit. I'm not just going to keep on lying to myself and saying that's a flower when it's clearly shit. So we just have to be honest, brother. I just don't know how to say it. And it's not the level where, you know, I want to, you know, bash my brothers. I want to bash my sisters, because that's not the point of this. The point is for us to uplift each other. We got to tell the truth in that process, because healing does hurt. It does, hurt. You know what I mean? It hurts when my king comes home and he doesn't like certain things that I've done. He's going to rip into my – he's going to let me know. He's going to let me know, look, Amira, you did such and such, and my feelings might be hurt for a minute, but shoot, I had to patch it up and keep it moving. It's times where I have to let him know your shit stink. You know what I mean? And that's what has to happen, because we're not going to make it. We are dying every day. You know what I mean? We are dying every day, and it's because shit stinks, and we're not acknowledging it. And we have to acknowledge it. You know what I mean? So sometimes, you know, our sisters do come across like really strong and vulgar and mouthy, but we have to be like that in definitely certain instances. Now, once we get that man or that king that balances out, we can be less like that, and we might have to sometimes revert back to that, because sometimes our kings and our queens can get out of pocket, so to speak, and they'll go through. Because we suffer from post-traumatic slavery, okay? So because of that, we do have to, you know, keep and continue to heal, and we have to keep on working and reworking and redeveloping ourselves. You know, what do we say? The 3 Ds, to define, develop, and defend what's in the best interest of our black community. Not only are we talking about on the outside of the black community, but we're talking about the inside of the black community, which is our homes. So we have to address these things. We can't just, like, say, well, sister, you sound like you're angry, you sound like you're hurt. Hell yeah, I'm hurt, brother. I'm hurt. I know you did, brother. We know, brother. Don't worry about it, brother. Don't worry about it. I'm just saying that we have to acknowledge these kinds of things, and we have to know what we're dealing with, and we just have to just get raw sometimes. And on these bases, these platforms, we have to really begin to talk about these kinds of things. But, brother, do you have any more comments? Because we're in our after show right now, and we only got so many more minutes.
I just wanted to call you ladies and let you know that it is some good men out there.
We know, brother.
Men. Okay.
But we wanted to hear the good men voices, though. Go ahead.
Right, right. And that's all it was. I just wanted to touch bases with you strong black women. And I'm glad to be a part of the Black Panther Party. And
yes, sir.
Just to interject my comments, that's all.
You're all right, brother. We love you, brother. We love you. Black
power.
We love you, brother. And next time you call back in and you just be like, listen, sister. All right, brother. Black power.
Black power.
I'm going to try to, I guess I'm going to try to fit a couple more calls in here. It's really hard because the phone lines are lighting up. And I know some of our people are just like getting mad because, like, these sisters, when you get on the show with sisters, we talk, boy. We talk. We talk the talk and we walk the walk. So a lot of times we just have to get in where you fit in. If you don't make tonight, then you know you can always call back on Saturday, you know, on Monday, and then we're going to start having these shows on a regular basis. So people, don't be offended. Nobody's gonna hold your hand either, you know. So we have 404-749-09. You're on Black Power Radio. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Black Power.
Black Power.
First thing I want to say is, man, this is awesome. It's good to hear sisters engage us. I mean, some real, real thought-provoking, like, deep type of stuff. But I wanted to, there's a few things I disagreed with, and especially one being, I think my solution to everything is naturalism. I'll be brief. Sister Minister, because I know you got a lot of people, Sister Assistant. But my thing is this, that, you know, when we come off from a religious point and we say God said it's God and it's man and man is the leader, then we have to ask ourselves, whose system are we defining that by? This is one of the problems black men have, is because when you say black manhood and the black man should take the leadership, are you sure that you're not saying from a white male's perspective? Because in revolution, what I find is that once we do away with white supremacy, we still have the male chauvinist type of attitude, mentality that we have to deal with as revolutionaries. And that's because we've structured and patterned our society off a white supremacist matriarchy type thing. Women have been rulers, they're queens, they're leaders. So it isn't no man's woman and your woman. I hear these brothers, are you letting a sister surpass you? When we start competing with one another, we've already lost the battle. You know what I'm saying? There's no issue. Out of the sexism thing, I just don't get. You know what I'm saying? We're living in a day and time. We have to evolve. Sisters might have to get out there and get it. And a brother might have to wash some dishes, cook some dinner, change some pampers, and all that good stuff. There's no type of wrong there. And to black people, we understand that our women can do anything under the sun. You know what I'm saying? I'm only a leader in the things that I do that are right and exact. And she's my leader if she's right and exact in doing those things. So I want, but you know what, sister, man, I love you. I love your attitude. I love your spirit. And, you know, both of you sisters with Sister Amanda, y'all keep up the good work. You know what I'm saying? And I love the fact that we can agree to disagree and we can do it intelligently as black people. Thanks for the time, Sister Amanda. Black power.
Black power, brother. I was going to tell you, brother. No, brother. You think you're just going to make a comment and leave? Oh, we got a few more minutes now, brother. We got a question for you. So, brother, let me ask you a question. You ain't getting over that quick, brother. Not that I know you personally, brother, but let me ask you a quick question. Do you think you've ever suffered from sexism, brother? Do you think you ever were sexist?
Yes.
At any point in your life?
Yes. And even now, I think that's a part of the post-traumatic slave disorder you're talking about.
Yes.
I think that I suffer from male chauvinism and sexism because I'm getting my saying, well, this is a man's role. And I think that this is something that we have to constantly fight. You know, we have to, and history is going to be one of our weapons by realizing the roles that women played. And, you know, we have to get out of this white supremacist way of thinking, even though I'm not knocking religion. You know what I'm saying? Because you know me, man. You know I came, you know, my father's, you know, Muslim and all that good stuff. But even in our religions, we have to be careful that we don't emulate other nationalities and start to suppress our women, trying to be someone that we're not. Black women, man, let me tell you something. I've been a Muslim, and I've had 4 marriages, and one of the reasons I say is because of that. Black women are not Arab women. They're not going, it's, you know, our black women are dynamic. And the two is we as black men realize that, and black women, like the sister said, realize that. But in part of realizing that is realizing is you can't, leadership is, to me, this is just opinion. Whoever is doing what's right and exact. You know, it doesn't, because I have a penis doesn't naturally make me a leader. It just makes me a male.
Okay, brother. I definitely had to, because, see, I don't, not that I know this brother personally, but I just had to really touch on that. But, brother, what was your name again, brother?
Yanga.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, brother Yanga. It's just a thing where we do appreciate your honesty, number one, and I already knew the answer to that question. I just wanted everybody else to hear it. But I do appreciate your honesty, and thanks Sister Kim for calling in. But she really does need, you need to encourage her to do more research upon those bankers, because she can break that down in simpler form. And a lot of our people, you know, because when you get into those banks, they talk that mumbo yumbo. So if she can break that down in simpler form, promote to our people, that's good.
Yeah, well, let me just shoot a quick plug for her, because one of the programs that she is working on is working with the economic systems. By realizing that economics, we have to realize the difference between money and currency, and that when you think about it, we're slaves for wages. You work 40 hours a week,
and you might get $250, $300. These people are telling you that your 40 hours of your life is only worth $300. So the real wealth is in the labor, and the black community is full of labor. What we have to do, one of the things that I suggest we do is like the, and I'm trying to talk quick, is like the China, the Koreans have done with the hair care industry. And that's amazing that a whole, another ethnic group can sell us our own hair care products and have the industry locked down. But what we have to do is find an industry. Let's just say, like Dr. Claude Anderson says in Polynomics, if we go into the leather industry, not only the leather industry, but the shoes, the distribution, we have to take over, start to dominate one particular thing and start competing with one another, pull our resources together, and like Kim is saying about the banking systems, really stop relying on the banking systems and use our labor. In my conclusion, that Father Divine did it. What he did, and you find a lot of old people did it, they had something like a dent service. You know what I'm saying? They were the best one. If you needed something done, they did it so they would control up the labor, and we control the labor.
Exactly. That's beautiful. We do need to get more into that, and we need to start talking more about that. Again, we need to recognize the beauty and glory within our people to come up with this knowledge base, and we need to begin to pass it on, and that's why we use these forums. But we need to have also some closed behind doors conversations on these types of things, on how we're going to strategize to make this so, not just talk, but make it so. So I definitely look forward to coming to Atlanta, to sitting down and coming up with some of these solutions.
But not only that, I think everybody should read their state labor laws, because if you actually read what the labor laws are, like here in Virginia, it spell out nothing but slavery. I mean, if I work for someone, which I've been self-employed now 10 years, I work for myself. And I refuse to work for anyone else, because if you read them laws, it's like they own me. They tell me what time I go to lunch. I better not talk back. They can discipline me. They can stick me in a corner. They can do whatever they want to for this little bitty money. So I think it's important that we know, you know what I'm saying, what we're involved in as far as when we are employed from someone else and who signs our checks. And the limitations that they set forth on us on what we can and can't do as far as maintaining the living.
Okay. Well, people need to start, again, what the sister says. She said you need to read your laws in your state. Very important. And we need to definitely study the commerce, because a lot of our people don't know exactly what that means and what that is designed to do and how it is done and how they are using us to get grants. These other folk that we know nothing about utilizing us to get grants for them to have, and not for us to even have knowledge of, but it's basically over our heads.
Right.
So we definitely need to learn about that kind of stuff.
Real quick too, is one of the things, because I'm advocating a boycott too, but I'm hoping that this time of the boycott we can take it a step further. And what I mean by taking a step further is there's no point boycotting a white man and going and spending my money with the Korean. I'm boycotting the Korean and going and spending my money with the Hindu that's in every damn near every store on my corner. Institution building is going to be a key point. When we have to start pulling our resources, not only boycott, but offer our people an alternative. Now, I can go through this community, and Lord knows that Kim, the soldiers with her, you know, the big shout-outs to all around the Decatur chapter, that we're constantly in these streets. But we can tell them to boycott, but, you know, the question is, what's the alternative? Thankfully, down here, we're trying to set a prototype, and Kim is coming, again, another one of our grandchildren, is coming up with the Panther store, and we're trying to find a way to offset that. But, like I said, we have to offer our people an alternative. It's one thing to scream and to say boycott, no buy this, no that, but where are our people going to go?
That's exactly what I was saying. As far as you know, sacrificing, because like I said, we can go buy tickets to movies, we can go buy tickets to these games and go stand and tailgate and go to these malls, but why aren't we investing in ourselves? Why aren't we investing in our own God-given skills? And I, for one, can say that I'm doing that for people for women that are starting businesses through Freedom Voice, through my hard earned money. I'm investing my money, not in banks, but in my people. You see what I'm saying? I'm taking $100, whatever, get your business license. Let's start there. Let's start buying jars for your food that you make by hand. You see what I'm saying? Then we start with a storefront. No, we can start with a pot selling on the street corner. Get our business license. You see what I'm saying? You start small. You got to crawl. You got to do something. That's all on the other side. Thank
you. You're breaking up.
I'm sorry.
You that's just from us to visit Atlanta, but that's sure how we get out.
I'm just saying, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that's what I'm trying to build here. I'm trying to build a front here for us. And that's what I'm saying as far as what we're doing and what I'm giving and what I'm offering. I'm not talking about it, but I'm doing it. And like you're saying, we have to have an alternative for our people. Can't just protest. Like I said, we're going to protest Bank of America. Yes, I'm going to do that because I said, for me, I've done my research on a black-owned bank, and I don't trust the bank, period. But if you are
Is it because they're going up to $5 fees, or is it really because I'm not funny, but they're going up to $5 for the ATM
yeah,
fee. Is that what made you look into a black bank, or was it because?
No, sir, it's not. I don't trust the banks, period. Okay, I know the system and I understand. But I'm saying.
Hear me out real quick, though.
Hear me out. The fact of the matter is, people need check cards. Some people, you know, in this world, they need to check cards to pay their bills or whatever case may be. So whatever you are getting from your bank, and you're going to gamble with a bank, and this is an alternative, put it into a black bank if you choose to still sit with that system. If you still choose to put your money into any bank, let it be a black-owned bank, these little small banks on the corner, you know what I'm saying, who's trying to give us loans. This is the only black bank in Charlotte that's giving black people loans right now. No one knows about it. You see what I'm saying? So I'm just giving that offer. I'm not saying I'm going to do it. I'm just saying, okay, well, it starts here. Let's find out what they have to offer. Let's go and find out. Let's go together. You see what I'm saying?
Okay, say you got your black-owned bank, and, you know, it's 3.8 interest rate, whatever, and you got a Jewish-owned bank that's giving interest. Their interest rate is like 12. Who do you go to then? I mean, if both of them, like Kim was pointing out, both of them are FDA insured, both of them are for the system, both of them are for the state. Do you do a better business deal, or do you go with skin color? I mean, that's really a good question.
No, sir, that comes to that person's decision. You said give the person an option. Give them another something to think about and to ponder. You see what I'm saying? I can't make you think how I think. You understand? That's God-given choice. You see what I'm saying? Giving people options to make them think. Do you see what I'm saying? Well, then, you know what? I never thought about that. Now, I don't really know. Now, you know what? I don't even trust them. See what I'm saying? It gives people opportunity to think. You see what I'm saying? Because no one even knows a black bank is around their corner. That's dumb. So, a raise the awareness. That's how you start the conversation. That's how you bring in people like yourself and people like Kim, that's her name, and you say, you know what, we got somebody that has an even better solution. She can talk to you about the system. She can talk to you and breaking things down. I'll pay her to come down. Do you follow what I'm saying? You have to start somewhere. That's all I'm saying.
Well, keep up the good work. And go up to Freedom Voice. Yep. Well, you guys are laughing at it. I'm dead serious.
No, I'm just laughing at the way, brother. I'm just laughing at the way you like, man, that's just powerful. That's just
I'm blown away.
Like you said, man, you know me. And I have a lot of sexist tendency. So it's when I hear sister speaking with some common sense and about something, you know, I'm shocked because of that post-traumatic slave disorder that I have. I think we are women. Sisters, man, these sisters ain't gonna get serious about the movement. So it's always good. I mean, I know you're a man. I know you don't play no games off the rip, but it's always good to hear a forum going and the dialogue back and forth. And I just want to encourage that to keep going and definitely, man, give my black power to it.
Yes, sir. I'm all for it. Like I said, and I meant that. I'll pay. I'm all for it.
Really breaking up.
See what she said. I know. Ain't nothing but that damn devil. I'm sorry.
That's all. He don't
sure
don't want you to get
right.
That out, huh?
But black power, brother.
Black power.
Okay, y'all, I didn't think this show was going to last this long, but I don't know. I guess as soon as I called you, I knew it.
I knew it. Wow, we have like 6 or 20 minutes. Six minutes and 20 seconds and counting. So, anybody have any last words? Make it really, really brief.
I'm going to put mine on mute. I don't want no jacks. That's all I'm saying. I'm throwing jacks on the table. That's all I'm saying. And I'm putting it on mute for the rest of the 5 seconds. 5 minutes. I'm done. Black power.
Black power, Queen. Sister Sylvia, you got anything else to say?
Yeah, all I want to say is we definitely need the unity within our community. I'm not a male basher. I love black men. Matter of fact, I love the look of them and the essence of them. But I would like for them to, you know, kind of teach, you know, our youth a little bit more and be more of a backbone in our community as well. And for those sisters that's struggling with the same situation that I had, just, you know, just keep your head up and stay strong and do what you know you have to do.
When I said 5 minutes, sister, it's still 5 minutes. So, sister, go ahead. I mean, you just
look,
spoke you all of 5 seconds.
I didn't want to be selfish in case somebody else has something to say.
Sister, give me 2 minutes, sister. Come on, sister love. Give us three minutes. Hurry up,
okay.
3 minutes.
Do I got 3 minutes? You sure?
Yeah, 3 minutes. Come on,
okay.
Hurry up.
Like I was saying, and that offer still stands. And that's what Freedom Voices is about. You understand what I'm saying? I don't mind supporting and you know, coming together of women. That's my thing. And not just women, men too, but I'm just saying right now who's coming to me as women with their problems. And I say, okay, well, what can you do? What are you good at, sister? Okay, fine. Let's get it started. Let's not talk about it. Let's go down to the office and get your business license. Let's go today. I'll pay for it. You ain't got it? I got it. Let's go. So now what you need now? What's next? You see what I'm saying? I can do that, and I'm going to do that. I've already started doing that. And I think the more that we stop being selfish and start sacrificing for someone else, that's the problem. If you're out there, if you're listening right now, and you have enough to spread and help someone else, if you have your own business, and you learn, and you know, I have women, people around me that are have degrees in marketing. That's who I'm learning from. I invested in her. You understand what I'm saying? And then, therefore, she invested in me. So that's what I'm saying. We have to invest in each other because no one else is going to do it for us. So therefore, so you have a neighbor who have a talent. You guys need to get together and start a business. You may not know about how to cook, but you may know how to start a business. That's how you start one. You got what you got. She got what she got. Let's put it together and make something happen. That's all I'm trying to say, and that's all I'm trying to do. And I'm not just talking about it. I'm about it. And that's black power. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, so we need to get a bus and go on tour city to city.
I'm telling you, we're going to work on that off of this phone. I don't, you know, I didn't want to just turn this. That's why I asked for a particular guest tonight, because I definitely think that we can actually do something with this, everything that we've talked about tonight. So with that said is, next week I think we're going to try to talk on healthcare, because I think that's something that's my degree. That's what degree I'm working on. And I'm definitely learning a lot that I can definitely take back to the community that we can utilize, and just to break it down even further, Obama so-called plan, if it ever make it. But that's, we'll talk about that. That's another can of worms. But anyway, I definitely want to give out the number for everybody that want to join the New Black Panther Party or work with the National Day of Action. It's 502-299-8530. Also, the website is nationaldayofaction@yahoo.com. And to join the New Black Panther Party is nbpphq@yahoo.com. And the National Day of Action website is... I'm sorry. The National Spokesman let me know something. We have a Saturday, October the 8th, 3 to 10 p.m., the State of U.S. Educational System and the Miseducation of the Youth. National Town Hall meeting is at 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. We will have our National Dr. Jeffries, and we also have our National Chairman Malik Zulu Shabazz will be a co-host, and we will also have Dr. Wesley Muhammad, a scholar and educator. We have I can't even see that, brother. And Cova. And we have the professional, Dr. Lamont. So we definitely, Mark Lamont Hill. Okay. All right. I don't have my glasses on. Y'all have to excuse me. And all this writing is, like, really small.
Sister.
Especially an invite to Mayor Nutter also.
Sister, can you get that number out again? That number is very crucial. Please get that number out again, that 502 number, please.
502-922-5580. Also, to text the number to get to this international house, like I was just explaining to y'all, the panel discussions from 3 to 5 p.m., the Black Education Crosses in Philadelphia is 267-210-1532. All right. Shoot, I had to get my glasses going. You know, I have to have my special assistant to help me because I can't see.
Alone. All right.
So, all right. So, I worked that. We got 16 seconds left.
Well, I appreciate you. I appreciate y'all letting me come on, and I'll be on anytime. I'm working so hard to get this Freedom Voices off the ground. I really appreciate this platform, and I'm going to do, like I said, get my red carpet out so the Black Panther movement can come on through Charlotte.